Together, ladies and gentlemen, Bad Religion joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I'd like to say at this time, we want you to be the house band of the Kevin and Bean Show. We need you here every morning at 5 a.m.
Okay.
Right. We're you here.
Got it. Not that we can move around anywhere with all your equipment.
Yeah, a lot of equipment.
That's what we do. We take up all the space and then eventually everybody leaves.
I just love that. I love walking in the morning and going, wow, this band could play the Rose Bowl with this equipment.
Yep, you sure could.
I love it.
It is. You don't adjust based on the size of the room. That's what I love about Bad Religion.
There's no change in what we play out of.
It is no joke. There are just a handful of guests that we would have in 10 times more often than we do. And you guys are among those. And I can't believe it's been 2 years already since the last time you guys stopped by and played. But welcome back.
Thank you very much. We always enjoy coming here any hour. You know, if you guys just, however, if you do decide to go a little later, we might come back a little more often.
Yeah. That'd be okay. So. Right, exactly. Yeah. 30 years together. Now, that's remarkable. Let's face it. I mean, you're practically the Rolling Stones at this point.
How dare you?
Really, right?
These guys are still relevant.
They have made a lot better records in the last 20 years of the Rolling Stones, that's for sure.
And we don't carry defibrillators on tour with us yet.
Is that an important milestone for you? Is that something that you really, you know, sit back, take stock of, and you're proud of? Or is it just, you know, another day as far as you're concerned?
Well, the 30-year thing is something that the most important aspect of it is that we still have a community of people to play to. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's really – I've been saying it on stage every night, and it sounds maudlin when I say it because my audience sort of laughs at it, but I really do mean it. I mean, if you didn't have a relevant scene to play to
– Of course.
Then you're a heritage act.
And yeah,
right.
We don't want to be thought of as that.
I'd like to suggest that when you're on stage and you're talking to the audience that you dumb it down a little. And then they would go, oh, yeah, of course. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm not that good at those things, maybe.
You need to try a little bit more of who wants to party and a little bit less of, I know this sounds maudlin.
You guys, look, I consider you guys professional at this. I'm still learning my craft.
Yeah.
All right. So explain to folks the House of Blues celebration in honor of the 30th. How many shows are you going to end up doing in Southern California this month?
Well, we're going to be the house band there. It'll be House of Bad Religion.
Just every night.
And then every morning we'll come on to Kevin and Bean.
All right.
And we'll just, you know, never ever leave.
That's fine with me.
It's what it feels like now. We've played like 20.
Well, we will.
There's going to be 21 shows.
Yeah, there'll be 20 with a possible addition.
Depending
on ticket sales.
Yeah.
We're working on
which is always shaky with you guys.
It's always speculative.
What's the I hate to ask a dumb question you've probably been asked a lot, especially by younger bands who can't last 5 years together. What's the secret to working together for so long and so successfully and still seeming to enjoy it so much?
Tofu.
That is not the answer I would have guessed.
No.
See?
Tofu. Let me write that down.
I mean, I know that you've always been open to letting guys go off and do their own thing, and you have had some rotation of younger members throughout the years. But I mean, in general, you know, the core has been together, pretty much for 30. What's the secret?
Well, I always say it's kind of like a family, and then it sounds. What's the word?
Maudlin.
Thank you.
Not a word I would use. Yeah. But,
but the truth is that you know, if a family that really grows well and that really works well over the years is one that allows its family members to grow individually. And we have always looked at Bad Religion as a creative enterprise, individually and collectively. And so when we come together, it's like our best friends and family coming together for a Thanksgiving dinner. But for us, it's a concert at the Hollywood Palladium.
Same, Thanksgiving dinner, concert, Palladium.
Exactly.
It's all the same.
Was there a point in that 30 years where you were all convinced it was over? Like everyone was just, this is it.
You'll have to ask the other guys.
I got twice.
Twice you did?
I've got twice.
Maybe 1984-ish.
About 1984 and 1999, 2000.
See, like any family, we've had our trial separations.
Of course.
There have been times when the parents had joint custody.
Yeah. It was rock.
They took my shirt. I wanted it back.
The prodigal son left and returned.
Yeah.
Has there ever been musically much to disagree about?
Yeah, only once. That was on in 80. Well,
that was on Suffer, wasn't it?
No, I was going to say Into the Unknown, but you left the band over there. I mean, you hated their music so much.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That was the one. I mean, basically, after our first LP, which was sort of our watershed moment,
right.
Greg and I went off the deep end and made a crazy prog album. Not only the hardcore fans know this.
Yeah.
And Jay looked at us and said, "What the hell are you writing? I'm out of here."
This is not the way I want to go.
And the reason I didn't think about that is because the record still came out. It still happened. Like
right.
me leaving mm-hmm. didn't affect it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it was a disagreement.
Right. And so the only one I was thinking about was the song that you wrote, Greg, back around Suffer Time that I can't remember the title of, that Greg Hetson said, "I can't sing that. I can't back that, man."
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't. And then we instituted a new...
What song was that?
That was, I can't really...
It was something very derogatory. We won't say on the air.
Okay.
But that was the day we came up with a new policy in the band, talk about growth in the family. We said, you can't just say, "I won't play that song," without offering some idea for a new song.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay. So that was a new policy as of 1988. And
that was called The Death of Dissent.
Yeah.
Something sounds like a new album title.
You needed a vast majority.
Yeah.
All right. You guys started out as a punk rock band and managed to stay pretty true to those initial inclinations. As music changed, as Guns N' Roses came around and as hair metal came around and all the other things that we've seen on the radio in the last 30 years, was there ever any temptation to kind of chase what was happening at the time?
Yeah.
Or was it pretty easy to keep doing what you were doing?
You didn't see our emo phase? You guys missed our emo
phase.
What happened?
Yeah, but I remember the Guns N' Roses guys wearing TSOL t-shirts.
Sure. Yeah. And, and they had Sex Pistols stickers on the Metallica guitars. So
sure. Yeah.
There was always like a punk rock part of all of that music.
Right.
It seemed like we were still a part of everything, even though it wasn't necessary to be.
But Bean's
in
right.
That
but
scene.
Bean's right in that music goes very, very extreme one direction, and there a lot of bands go that direction.
They
and
chase
then,
it. Right.
And
right.
then they're left out, and there are very few bands that can stay.
Like Jay and Brett said, we never felt compelled to chase something that they wanted. They seemed to want a part of what we had, and
right.
we recognize that.
Disco.
We never chased
where you should go. Have you ever thought of using this on stage?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's a cool
reggaeton.
Sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think going reggaeton.
This is a Bad Religion in the studio with Kevin and Bean. They're going to be heading into the other room and performing for us in a couple minutes. Now, it's been a while since you had a new Bad Religion studio album, 2-3 years, something like that. But I understand it is something that you're currently working on.
That's right. Yeah, we're going into the studio on May 5th to start recording our new album, and hopefully it'll be out this fall.
May 6th.
Awesome.
These guys are fast.
Tell us about the Thank You CD.
All right, yeah. So we've been doing all these House of Blues shows. We're calling it the 30 Years Tour, and I think it's something like 25 shows in Southern California at House of Blues. And while we were doing them, we recorded them, and... we're making a live album to give away to our fans for free to say thanks for supporting us all these years.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Is that a way of announcing you don't have a record label anymore? Is that what this is all about?
No, we have a record label.
It's our record label sitting right here.
It's him.
He is the record label.
It's just right. That's my thought. Yeah, if you fire Bad Religion, now you've got trouble.
It's all in-house.
Yeah. But 30th anniversary celebration with the Southern California tour, Bad Religion doing a million dates at the Anaheim and West Hollywood House of Blues. Tickets may or may not be available. I don't know.
They are available.
Really? LiveNation.com.
8, 9, 10, 15, 16, 17.
And by the way, what a great room to see a loud band like yours play. That is up close and personal. That's great. So they're here and they're ready to play, and we're going to take a break, get earplugs, because Bad Religion is next live in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Bad Religion is in studio. I hope they have pyrotechnics. I hope that happens. Right?
Yeah.
You guys have that? You have explosions and fire?
It's
huh? Yeah.
It's you.
It's me. Oh,
you are the
that's bad news. All right. Live music from Bad Religion. What are you guys going to do first?
This is a song called New Dark Ages.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
about that?
Okay, all right.
You can see that band as part of their 30th anniversary celebration Southern California tour at all the House of Blues locations in Anaheim and West Hollywood. Tickets available through LiveNation.com. That sounded fantastic, you guys.
Hey, guys, what's the longest song you've ever done?
3 minutes, 20 seconds.
Because we constantly have bands that play bad music and they make 8 minute songs.
That is possible. We can try
I'm
that.
I'm just saying, you guys, that would be great. But
yeah, you hit it and quit it, though.
Right.
Thank you.
In and out. All right, one more song. Do you have time for that?
You know, it is, let's see, it's 8:20. Yeah, we got time for one more. We can do this.
All right, Bad Religion, live on the Kevin and Bean Show.
His song called Sorrow.
I can't hear anything. What's going on?
When the man says sing along, Kevin, you have to sing along. I didn't hear you doing Sorrow.
Man.
Come on.
I'm not singing along. I ruined the whole thing. I didn't know I had a chance.
I was waiting for you to do your Kesha for us.
Let's do it again.
All right.
Hey, can the guys hear me right now?
Can you guys hear?
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Yes.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins from Chad. I've seen Bad Religion a handful of times in person. Most recently, I saw them at the Anaheim House of Blues. Despite the cramped atmosphere and close quarters, they were truly amazing. They continue to be a tremendous ambassador for true punk rock and a benchmark for which other up-and-coming bands should model their careers. Congratulations, Bad Religion, on 30 years of perfection. Your music will still be an inspiration 30 years from now. Let's not get crazy, but I mean, seriously, that's a nice note from Chad, right?
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
time.
Bad Religion, 30th anniversary celebration, SoCal tour at Anaheim House of Blues, West Hollywood House of Blues. Hard to believe there are still a few tickets available, but those will go quickly. So,
please, if the schedule works out, I know you're working on the new record starting soon, and you hope to have it out in the fall. If it does happen, will you please come back and visit the Kevin and Bean Show again? We'd love to have you.
We can't wait to come back, and thank you for having us once again.
We're available tomorrow, too. As well. Tomorrow, too.
Two more songs tomorrow.
106.7.
You right there, sport?
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ.
Got a little shamrock shake in your throat?
That's not shamrock shake!
It's 8:34. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to talk about sex robots. We have an inventor on the line. Douglas Hines is his name. He has been showing the sex robot at porn awards, different porn conventions.
Everyone's been waiting for this. Robots we can have sex with.
Douglas?
Hey, great to be here. How are you?
Very good.
Good, Douglas.
So tell us about your sex robot and how it came to be.
Well, it's the first sex robot in the world, as you mentioned, and it really was a long road. It took many years. We originally started out, it sounds totally separate from sex robot, but we started off creating a healthcare robot to take care of elderly people at home, you know, people that are housebound, and the government wouldn't come through with financing for Medicare. So we said, you know, what are we going to do with this robot? So we kind of, you know, retrofitted it. And
really? So you went back and made it a sex robot?
From nurse to hooker.
Right.
That's great.
Wow. Well, who knew the government does good work?
And you know that you knew there would be money in sex and porn for the robot. You know, that was a guarantee.
It's the only one of the only industries recession-proof, so it's pretty good.
Yeah. Now tell us about the different personalities of Roxy. Is that her name, Roxy?
Roxy, right.
With six X's?
Roxy. Yep, she comes with, first of all, she has her standard personality, which is, everybody's familiar with these dating services where you fill out the forms, you know, what do you like, dislike, you know, walk on the beach, blah, blah, blah. Well, we did the same thing with Roxy where the people that purchase her fill out a form where they answer what they like. For instance, if they like baseball, if they, you know, follow a certain team, cars, gardening, whatever the subject is that they like, Roxy will also like those topics.
Oh, that's awesome.
The perfect woman.
It's programmed compatibility.
So you can program her to like the things you like.
And you know, let's talk about sex a little bit. So if you like certain things that way, she'll also like it. So it's pretty cool. So that's, she's matched as closely as possible to what your preferences are. And then we have these other personalities. So you could tell her to become Wild Wendy. And so she'll be like, kick it up a notch, like on, let's say it's Saturday night and, you know, it's, you know, you want to spice it up a bit. She'll be a little more, you know, engaging, if you will.
Yes, I will. Mm. Now, let me ask you about the actual physicality of the robot. It's anatomically correct, and it's got functioning genitals, right?
She's anatomically consistent. We took a fine arts model and, you know, basically painted or sculpted her entire body. So, you know, all the inputs, if you will, everything is exactly like a woman. I'll leave it at that. And so it's pretty cool, yeah.
And you have sensors built into those regions so the robot responds when you're with her.
Yes, sensors built in, and also motors in those areas, so it creates, you know, very, you know, interesting experience. And by the way, her voice changes, her personality changes. So when she's, you know, being engaged, she responds just like, you know, a woman would.
It's so after a couple of years of having sex with her, eventually she tells you to, like, clean the gutters and paint the house and stuff, and she stops sleeping with you.
I have a headache. And yeah. No.
That's good. People also ask me, does she eventually say no? You know, does she have a headache or?
Yeah.
No, she never complains, never says no, so, yeah.
She never take me anywhere, why don't we go out to dinner? No, no,
are you embarrassed of me?
Right. My ass look fat in these jeans?
How do I ask this without insulting?
You won't. You'll just go ahead and insult, probably.
Couldn't you have found a hotter model?
Oh.
I mean, if it's going to be a sex robot.
Let me explain this to you, Douglas. Apparently, Kevin doesn't think that Roxy is attractive enough for him.
She looks like an angry housewife who's mad because you left your shoes out. Doesn't
she? I hear you. What we've done is we've created separate faces, so that way you can swap out the face if you want.
Okay, that's creepy.
There you go, Kevin.
That's really creepy.
Now
but
you
all
can
right.
find a face you like and slap it on.
Oh
her.
My God, you've thought of everything.
Is one of the faces Bar Raffaele?
And also, we have a discount right now. So if your audience goes to truecompanion.com, they'll be able to qualify for the discount. And we offer 24/7 support and, you know, there to answer any questions. And obviously, everything's confidential.
Now, Douglas, let me ask you one question. Are you familiar with the old science fiction movie Westworld? I grew up watching this movie when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a theme park for adults where you go to, and everybody in the theme park was robots. So you could, like, if you were in the western part of the world, you could shoot a guy in a gunfight, and he would go down and be realistic, and they had, like, hookers there you could have sex with. They're all robots. But then something went wrong, and the robots started turning on the humans and killing them.
Yeah.
Do you have a guarantee that Roxy's not going to take me out in the middle of the night?
No. We're not creating Yul Brynner. That was a great movie too. I really enjoyed it. No. She does exactly what you want to,
right.
to do. And so the only exception to that is we do have one personality. We have sex therapists that are interested in this, and there's a certain malady. I'm not a doctor, but they call it performance anxiety.
Right.
And so if you try to do something with her, she might not be willing to, or not as she might say, please don't do that.
So you just learn to force it.
Oh, man.
Well, I also got that question a few times, too.
But I'm sorry, Douglas. We do not condone raping a robot.
Of course not. Robots have rights.
We do not condone robot rape.
You're saying that sex therapists want to buy the sex robot for their patients to come in?
That's right. I'll give you an example.
A surrogate. Here's
the problem. The problem is that some men have problems performing,
right.
In front of a woman. So this is kind of like a bridge, like a stepping stone to being with a real woman.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's like a tackling dummy in football practice. Before you get into the game, you want to work out a little bit.
There's no guy that's going to start with this robot and then get the confidence to move up to women.
Or want to go to a real woman when you had the robot. Sort of programmed to like everything you like. She doesn't say no. Who needs real women?
Yeah, there is that.
Douglas, you're doing the Lord's work.
You know what we also I'm telling you, it's a challenge. I'm an engineer. I'm a Bell Labs engineer at Artificial Intelligence. And I can't believe what I'm doing.
Right.
But it's so interesting. And we make people's, 85% of people don't share their fantasies with their partner, all their fantasies. So what we do is allow, everybody to kind of, experience everything that they might imagine.
Yeah.
We're helping a lot of people is with threesomes, because there's a lot of couples that are interested in that kind of thing, and obviously it's a big step to do something like that. So we have guys that have their girlfriends call up and order it, and tell us the size and the shape and all that, and so that's really a market that we didn't even see coming.
Women who won't get jealous of a robot.
How about that?
Idea.
That's true.
You're spending too much time with that robot. That's a little freaky. Now, are you married?
I am.
Douglas.
Many years.
Come on.
My high school sweetheart.
Well,
you got
that explains
it, man.
A lot.
Is your wife jealous of Roxy? How much time you spend with her? Changing her oil and whatnot? You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink.
Well, we have a Rocky, by the way, guys. A male version.
You have a male version.
I can't imagine.
So when you're spending time with Roxy, she's spending time with Rocky?
I'm just joking with you.
You
guys.
Are robot swingers.
No.
That's robot sex comedy.
The reality is, I work a lot, she works a lot, and she understands, so it's all good.
We're talking to Douglas Hines, creator of Roxy, the sex robot, the first actual robot that you can have sex with. You can go to truecompanion.com is the website where you can purchase Roxy. What's Roxy run you, if I want to pick one up, Douglas?
Well, the retail price we price consistent with high-end dolls. They range from $6,000 to $7,000, around there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we said, well, we'll come in a little lower. So the list price is $7,000, but we have a discount again on the website. So, it's not that full price. And so that way, it's kind of competitive and has so many other features, obviously.
Right.
Years from now, I can imagine used robot lots where you go in formerly owned Roxy's and say, I don't know if I want a formerly owned Roxy or not.
Do you have a trade-in program down the road?
You know what? There's really no need to trade her in or him in, because what we're doing is when we do update her and him, what we do is we update the software on the robot. So mm-hmm. It's like get the latest and greatest. It's a good idea.
Software for your hardware.
You should make her hotter.
Oh, so you get your own face. We'll design you a special face, Kevin.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And, we have other faces, so it's all good. We've, you could have different body sizes and all that. So, you know, people could talk to us in confidence, whatever they like, and you would be amazed what people ask for. Incredible.
I wouldn't be at all. We're a nation full of perverts, Douglas, I'm telling you.
That's true. All right, truecompanion.com. That's the place to go for artificial true companion.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Douglas.
All right.
You're doing good work.
I appreciate it, guys. Listen, have a great day.
Thanks, Doug.
Make her hotter.
Great. Stop right. it, would you, with the hotter?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, smack dab in the middle of the Winter Olympics 2010. Kevin and I were talking earlier today about no matter what time of day or night you turn on CNBC. Because here's the thing about the NBC Olympics is they've got some sports on NBC, the flagship station. Then they put other sports on MSNBC. And then they put curling on CNBC. But curling is on 22 and a half hours a day.
Yeah. All new. It's, no repeats.
It's unbelievable. And I can't figure out how curling takes so much longer than all the other sports. But is each game like 5 hours long? What the hell's the deal?
I can't tell how it's a sport. I mean, really, I watch it out of this can't possibly be happening right now.
Freakish curiosity.
Yes. And I stick there for a long time because I go, it's still happening. It started a half hour ago. They're still doing it and acting like it's a sport.
And I keep thinking about the poor people in the audience, by the way. You ever look at the stands? There's actually people sitting there watching it.
And I would be willing to bet, and I'm basing this on nothing but just dumbness, I would be willing to bet that it's all relatives or friends of the people that are out there. I mean, really, I don't think there's a lot of curling fans that are like, yes, got tickets to the finals.
Well, during the last round of Winter Olympics, is this right, Mike? Was it 4 years ago that you went and learned a little something about curling with the Hollywood Curling Association?
I don't know if it was that long ago, but it was at least a year ago. I went down to a place where they have a competitive curling league here in Southern California, and I got a chance to try the sport out.
Mm-hmm. Matt is on the line with us from Hollywood Curling right now, and he has been firing many angry emails to us as we have been discussing curling during the Winter Olympics. But we're excited to have you back on the show with us, Matt, and thank you so much for coming on. How are you, dude?
I'm well, guys. How are you today?
We are good.
So you were there.
Only two angry emails.
Okay, you were there when Psycho Mike came down to curl with you guys, right?
I was.
And did you feel that you had you developed a bond and that you guys were pretty much BFFs for life, and then he turned around and stabbed you in the back? Is that what this is all about?
You know, I never felt like he stabbed us in the back by his comments, per se. It was more of, you know, we all kind of took our time to teach you guys on this special session. Mm-hmm. And when he went on his rant last week, which you've all heard before, no one's really complained about what he said, but he didn't mention our club. So, you know, we're trying to get our attention and get people out to learn it for themselves. And, you know, we're just hoping for that shout-out so people can try it out and see for themselves what it involves.
Let me ask you a question. Does your club involve curling?
Yes.
Then no. then we're out.
No, I don't mind people knowing that Hollywood Curling exists if they want to go down and try it. What I'm trying to figure out is why anyone would. I mean, you can't have a bunch of people knocking on your door at this point, can you?
You know, we had 2 weeks ago before the Olympics, or 3 weeks ago before it started, we had 150 new people show up just to try it before the Olympics even began.
Okay.
We've gotten emails after emails of people who just want to come and try it. So we only do it one night a week, and every night we're doing it, we're getting like 150 people coming out.
Wow. How many of those 150 people were repeat business, came back a second time? Zero is my guess.
Probably about, like, last night, probably about 30 of them was their second time coming.
All right, Matt, explain how curling is even a sport. I mean, really, it's fat guys, it's old guys. There's a...
pregnant women.
Forgive me if this is a misstatement, but I think there's a six-month pregnant woman who's curling.
No. Those arguments are all valid, and I can see your point. I can see what you're going at, but...
Give me another sport where a six-month pregnant woman can play.
I don't have that info right now, but what I can tell you is I think the fact that it's kind of ridiculous, it's kind of silly, it doesn't quite make sense, is exactly what makes it a sport. So I think sports just don't make sense, and it's just that diversion and that ridiculousness that makes them so fun.
All right, wait a second. Hold on a second.
There's a level of athleticism that it doesn't always come through. When Mike tried it out, they're a good sport. They all came out and gave it a go. But Mike showed up in his tight jeans and snakeskin boots, and his the amount that he really did was kind of equivalent of going to putt-putt and thinking, I can be on the PGA Tour. I mean, he didn't. I want to play Mike in like a full 10-in game.
I don't think Mike is saying I can kick anyone's ass at curling.
Mike is saying that.
Oh,
Mike, Mike said he could train and by the end of this year be a world-class curler.
That's true.
Actually, Mike said first 2 weeks he can become a world-class curler. Then he said a couple months. Then on Friday he said by the end of 2010.
Wow, you've really been paying attention.
Well, here's another thing that
upping his time.
My argument that it's not a sport starts off with the fact that the day I did go down to Hollywood Curling and Curl, I ran a triathlon earlier that morning, then went and broke a horse. That's why I was wearing snakeskin. I went and rode a horse and then came straight there and was still able to curl. Most Olympic sports in my head, I think that I would have to rest all day and prepare, maybe stretch, do a warm-up. I actually ran a triathlon and then rode a horse, then showed up and curled and was fine. I mean, goes to show. And I think curling, by the way, is a very fun game if you're smashed, like darts or shooting pool. I just don't think it is an Olympic sport.
But also, you did not play like a full 10-in games that involve everything goes on curling. Granted, it's not; it doesn't have the athleticism that all these other sports do.
Let's at least admit it. It doesn't have any of it.
No, it has some.
Come on.
It's not. You know, it's not to the level of football, hockey, you know, baseball. It's not that same level
chess.
Of athleticism. But there's something there.
Reading.
What separates it from like darts or whatever is just that team aspect, the strategic aspect, and there is a level of physicality there, and you really, if you play a whole game.
No, there's no physicality. Come on, be honest. There's no physicality. For God's sakes, if it's you might like it, it might be challenging, it might be difficult, but there's no level of difficulty. It's just.
A lot of people say that. I get it. You know, it's hard to make the argument. But if you guys come out, let's play a full game, and just so you can just see it, and then you can make the argument. If you still think that, that's fine.
Hey, how much different is the level of play that we're seeing on the Olympics right now in the curling versus the level of play that your best players can put up?
It's ridiculously different. It comes down to just being consistent and strategy-wise. You see guys in the Olympics, these Canadian teams and the Great Britain team, they're doing shots that people in our level don't even think of because you just can't execute it. You can't execute it to that precision.
I saw someone call a timeout. And I thought to myself, this is the slowest game I've ever seen in my life. You can talk about every shot in between each one. Yeah. Why would you possibly need a timeout?
Because the games are timed, and if you run out of time, then
how could you run out of time?
There's a time limit.
What's the time limit? An hour per rock?
It's close. It's 73 minutes per team per game.
73 minutes of that. Come on! And that's not to mention the ridiculously stupid language that it employs. I mean, it really does, more than any other sport I've seen, have its entire language all to its own. It's just
absurd. What's that about, Matt, with all the guys screaming at the other guys? What does that do?
You know, it's just trying to motivate, trying to pump them up to sweep hard on each shot. Look, every sport has their own terminology. Curling's just newer to you guys.
No, it might be.
It sounds more ridiculous. More ridiculous than other sports.
You could be totally right. But, you know, football, baseball, basketball... there isn't so much of the language. You go, oh, it's a jump shot. That's a layup. Maybe we're just more familiar with it. But
exactly. You've been talking about layups and dunks and punts.
But
and
you got backhouse weight, and you got biter, and you got burning a rock, and you got chip and lie, and you got hog line, you got hack weight takeout and negative ice. What's happening with it? It doesn't make it better because you have your own language.
It's not better because the language, it's just its own language. It's everyone, you know, first down, you know, home run, like base. It's all just you getting used to it. Look, you guys have been watching it, and you guys have been enthralled by it. NBC started with 50 hours of curling in 2002, 80 hours in 2006, after 100 hours.
And all hours this year, yeah. All hours. And yeah. I watch it honestly because I can't believe it exists. I can't believe people are doing it. I can't believe the announcers are talking about it the way they are. This was a promo that they ran from the Salt Lake City Olympics, and I think it was 2002, for the 2006 Winter Olympics.
The skip brings the hammer. He doesn't want to leave this one too thin.
Oh, nice rock.
Oh, he's got good line. Down the sheet it comes.
Good line.
This one's got a chance. He really gave it back at the house. Wait.
He's got it.
Past the hog line.
He's got it.
Oh, into the house. A double takeout. The Americans have delivered a message. Not in my house. Not tonight.
Now, I would watch that sport.
Was that a parody?
Um, it, it, I don't know the actual call of that game, but
that's a parody.
A game with intensity can get a call like that. Look, it's all just it's all relative.
There aren't any games of intensity. Intensity is not a part of it. We watched the U.S. Canada hockey game yesterday, and it was like a flurry of bees. I mean, you could barely keep up with it. And then you flip over to curling, and you see poor Fred Rogan just wants to cut his wrists because he's got to host 150,000 hours of that boring ass sport. Come on.
Listen, Matt, we're out of time. How can people get in touch with you, or what do they need to know if they want to be part of Hollywood Curling?
You know, they just come to HollywoodCurling.org. Got a bunch of information as far as the Learner Curl, our leagues and stuff. And, you know, I'd love to give Bean and Mike a game, or Kevin and Mike, Bean, every one of you guys, a game and play, just a full game.
We'll put together a team.
And then you can talk whatever you want.
We'll put together a team.
Put together a team. We'll play you guys. I'd love it.
And if we beat you, then what?
You guys have to dismantle the league if we beat you. You have to absolutely, actually dissolve the league. No more league.
Dissolve the league. No more curling if we beat you.
You know what?
Say it. Don't be a pussy. We've never played before. I haven't.
Okay, we'll do that. I will dissolve the league.
All right.
There we go. All right. There we go.
You're on.
There it is. All right, Matt, you're a good sport. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to you again, dude. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys talking about curling. Thank you, guys.
Oh, sure.
What about Ozzy Osbourne on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour? What about that, by the way?
Ozzy.
The man that Psycho Mike has tattooed his signature on his chest, Ozzy Osbourne, joins us next hour talking about his new autobiography, and we'll tell you how you can meet Ozzy. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, Kevin, but I'm already very excited about our best of 2010 shows at the end of this year.
What? At the end of this year in December?
Yes, this December 2010, once again, we will count down the annual best dubs on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm already starting to compile the list of the best sound bites of 2010. For instance, I'm very much looking forward to see where this one ranks at the end of the year.
We've got Snooki.
I mean,
sure.
That's something. I have a feeling that one's going to live. This one may have already heard the number one sound bite of 2010.
Too much information and man.
I mean, that could be on the list. So we got a bunch of those. The other category that the listeners seem to enjoy so much is the moments with. Now, these are the brain farts that we all have. Although, I don't know. Has Psycho Mike ever had a moment with? I don't think he has.
I don't think so either.
I have had take that backs, but I have never had a moment with.
Well, I think the thing is that when you try to abbreviate things, when you try to say big things in small, you know, amounts of time,
right,
sometimes you kind of get mixed up. Mike doesn't do that.
Right.
He'll take a 10-second story and make it a minute and a half.
That's true.
So he's got plenty of time to flesh it out.
Right.
Lisa has only ever had a couple of moments with in the whole time she's been on the show.
Yeah.
Kevin and I are hitting three-pointers every time we get out on the court.
You're being nice. I have five times as many as anyone. Maybe six.
I do know that we're off to a great start in 2010. I mean, there's going to be, if we continue at this pace, there's going to be tremendous competition for the best moment with. So even though we're only a little over a month into the new year, we thought it might be fun.
Wow.
Because listeners may not have heard all of these. It might be fun to kind of look back on the moments with that we've already put up on the board.
And this is not us trying to be funny. It's not us trying to, you know, it's us trying.
Trying to do your job really just is what you're doing.
Trying to say what we need to say on a daily basis, and it doesn't always go well.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl that said that.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, that was about Legion.
I like how you go back and try and somehow clarify.
Like it's his fault, like he doesn't understand. I was talking to Ralph. So that happened, and then this happened.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Pretty strong. Pretty strong.
Okay, so two for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's the third one, Mike?
This is you as well.
Okay.
Oh. Right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even just, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
What happened?
That was
I don't even remember that.
With Kevin.
All right, that is clearly the winner so far.
I must have been high.
Wow. And by the way, I probably shouldn't, I don't need to point this out, but it has to be said, I believe. We're professional broadcasters,
not
okay?
Really.
Those clips that you've just heard all happened within the same 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the beginning of this year.
But we're new, and so you can see how we're trying to find our way.
But I'm thinking about all the other radio shows that don't have one of those in a year, and we're just churning them out. It's crazy the level that we have sunk to.
Well, I did appreciate that you jumped in and tried to get one that was as good as mine. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that you gave it your all.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Michael Emerson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was just a moment with me.
Yeah, that was yesterday when we had Ben from Lost on.
Very impressive.
Michael Emerson, and wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. We could already have our number one. We could only hope that we have some more clips as good as that one throughout the rest of the year.
I'm sure we will.
Man, thanks to the commercial now, I feel like I have to go out and buy a Cadillac. Damn you, Phoenix. Damn you. Rise Against on the way. Also, Nirvana, Slightly Stupid, Offspring, and more on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, a story you're not going to believe, but trust me, it's true.
It is from CNN. It's too good to be true, so you're going to doubt it.
Okay.
But if you search Japanese monks and rapping, you'll get the story. Buddhist monks in Japan are concerned that the young people are not joining the religion fast enough.
Sure.
So it's going to die out if they don't appeal to young people.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, and it's not just, this doesn't just happen with Buddhism, it happens with Catholicism and a lot of religions that seem rooted in centuries-old traditions that aren't flashy, that don't necessarily, that kind of music doesn't necessarily appeal to young people. I can understand why they would have trouble attracting new followers.
But the first sentence in this story, the Buddhist religion has largely remained the same over the past few centuries, but a group of monks in Japan are spicing things up by turning to alcohol and rap music.
Yay!
Now we're talking.
To lure in followers.
I think now that we're would talking. Help.
They want to start a Buddhist-like bar.
Really?
Where they serve alcohol.
So you could become a Buddhist and monk and drink? And
apparently.
Well, let's find out, Lisa, because we asked producer Alex to line up the Buddhist monk that is in the CNN article. His name is Kansho Tagai. His street name is Mr. Happiness, and he joins us on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hi, Mr. Happiness.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up, brown bag, bitches?
Well, we're doing fine. We have some questions about this story about you trying to attract young people to Buddhism.
What you got questions about, Randai?
Can you really drink? I mean, is that something that you're promoting now as part of the religion? Is alcohol?
Of course you can drink, be Buddhist.
But a monk?
Come to the monk bar, I'll show you.
Yeah, you're opening something called the monk bar. That's actually happening.
Opening it, bitch. It already been opened.
Already opened.
Wow, listen to you.
It already been opened, bitches, round eye bitches.
All right. Take it easy.
Like
the language.
I'm in a round eye bitches bar right now, bitches round eyes.
All right.
Okay, but listen, here's the thing. I thought that the point of the Buddhism is the chant is supposed to be peaceful and quiet and soothing and get you closer to God, no?
Yeah, here's the chant at the monk bar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we chant at the monk bar, bitches.
Now, are you supported?
Yeah, that's my chant.
That's a pretty good chant. Are you supported by all of the other monks, or are you out there kind of on your own?
They're old school.
They're old school.
I'm all about Buddhism 2010.
Right.
Round that bitch.
Right.
Okay. All right. So are you, I mean, it says here that you are doing some rapping also. Is that true, Mr. Happiness?
I lay down fat beats and mad trash. Round
you do.
That bitch.
Wow. If you could take it easy on the word bitch.
If you could take it easy on my crank, I appreciate it.
Okay. This does not seem like very monk-like behavior.
I'm a new monk. I'm a monk for the new generation of Buddhism.
That's what I hear.
All right.
Yeah.
What do some of these songs sound like, Mr. Happiness?
Well, I sent you already my new. I dropped my new CD on you, Round Eye Bitch.
Yeah, we have it.
Is it called Round Eye Bitch?
We'll play it. All right. Here's the first cut.
When we step up in the club, you know we get crunk. When we tip our bottle back, you know we get drunk. We be making all the beats that be slamming in your trunk. We're some fucked up motherfucking Japanese monks. Ho, ho, ho.
Wow. That doesn't sound...
Ho.
That doesn't sound like Buddhism ever sounded before.
That's right. It's brand new Buddhism. You never seen nothing like it.
Wow.
Buddhism 2010.
Now come in your face.
Well, let's not say that. All right. Do we have another clip from
yes,
the album,
we do.
Kevin?
Yes,
yeah.
We do. Here you go.
Pull the hood up on my rug when I'm looking for a hoe. I'm harpooning all the tuna everywhere I go. I may be a monk, but I don't just chant. I got a rice-powered missile right here in my pants.
I don't think that's...
That's
not appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't think for a religion.
I don't think overt sexuality is what Buddhism is all about, is it, Mr. Happiness?
Body don't stop till the rope drop.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Well, it's just that hoe and tuna and stuff like that just seems like it's very non-Buddhist.
First of all, the Buddhists were fishermen for a long time in Japan.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
They ship what and that crap tuna.
Okay, all right, all right.
I believe we have one more clip from Mr. Happiness's album.
Here we go.
Throw your guns up in the air if you really love Buddha. I make cheese with so much ease, you can call me Mr. Gouda. Diamonds in my mouth and diamonds on my wrist. Got Buddha embroidered on the Glock in my fist. Monk life.
Wow.
That's right.
Well,
I'd like to join.
Great job, Mr. Happy to sign me up.
We're going to jump you in, though.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. We'll beat you up with Zen.
Okay. All right, well.
I like the camera.
You know, when I have the camera on me,
I like to show up.
Ocho Cinco. Touchdown.
85 is doing good. Ocho Cinco going to give you a show. Chad is focused. Just focus.
Got Chad. Someone fell down. He's on the midfield. In a foot. Come on, Chad. 35-30. 25-20. Down left sideline.
Get in.
Will he be caught?
No.
He will not. Chad Johnson's in the end zone for a touchdown, a 70-yard hookup.
It's okay. Hey, I'm going to give you your money's worth before I leave today.
Ocho Cinco, a.k.a. the Black Mexican.
What's up with the what's up?
I have no previous dance experience at all, except in the end zone. And every time I'm there, I get fined.
I'm the real deal. I'm the one that talking and walking.
Child please is a nice way of telling someone, you know, you.
All-pro wide receiver from your Cincinnati Bengals, Chad.
There it is. Mr. Ocho Cinco has been on the short list of guests that we have been dying to have on the show for the past few seasons in the NFL, and we're happy to welcome him today, talking about Dancing with the Stars and so much more. Hey, Chad, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Man, it is a pleasure. I'd just like to thank y'all for having me. How is everybody doing?
We are good.
We're
thank
doing
you.
Great. We're delighted to have you. We got so much ground we got to cover in such a short amount of time. Let's start with Dancing with the Stars because you're on it.
You're on that show.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but you're on Dancing with the Freaking Stars, and we were just wondering, is it so? Is that show, because of all the other athletes that have done it in the past, is that show to the point now where you won't get made fun of when you go back to playing football this fall?
I mean, there's nothing I do where you can make fun of me because I do it in such a way where there's nothing to really joke about, you know? So that's the way I've always taken it. If nobody had done it before me, I would have done it anyway because it's something new. It's outside of my element, something I'm not used to. And, you know, I'm embracing this ballroom dancing thing, and it's really awesome. It's a lot harder than what I thought it would be.
Are you happy that Buzz Aldrin got kicked off before you?
Am I happy?
Yes.
I'm only focused on Cheryl and I, man. I'm really not paying,
right,
you know, the rest of the competition any mind. As long as her and I are doing well, we'll be there.
Because I'm saying he's 90 or whatever. I don't want to lose to him. Anyone else, fine.
Hey, Chad, I suspect that you're in it to win it. You don't embark on something unless you can be the very best at it. I mean, that's
kind of how
you roll, right?
In no way am I taking this as a joke. I'm here to win this thing. And actually, this is really part of, I'm using Dancing with the Stars as part of my training regimen. You know, usually I would be doing my boxing right now. But, of course, dancing works the same muscles. The only thing, I'm not throwing any punches.
Sure.
So I'm taking this extremely serious. And, you know, my head coach and I, we talk on a regular basis. And he actually sent me a message after my performance last week to buckle down and take it seriously like it's football. And so, you know, I had to sort of refocus myself and rededicate what I was doing, actually, because he is feeling the same way about it also.
Yeah,
right
on.
Do you feel
any extra expectations because you're an athlete?
No, but I do have an advantage a little bit, and there's some people that actually have a more advantage you know, than I do with Nicole Scherzinger and Evan Lysacek actually being dancers and being able to learn routines.
Right.
Being
they've part done of what
they do on their daily job, which is, you know, somewhat is cool and puts the pressure on me to actually get better even faster. So I like competition, and I'm having the time of my life doing this.
Chad, how do you like playing for the Cincinnati Bengals?
I love it. I love it. Why wouldn't I? I've earned every stripe on my helmet.
Well, I mean, that's true. You're already one of the most famous players in the history of that franchise. Obviously, you are beloved in the team. In the team and on the town. But I just wondered, you know, you play in a market like Cincinnati. I wonder if sometimes you look around and go, "Wow, I'd sure love to be somewhere else."
Why would I? I brought the big market to Cincinnati. There's no need to go anywhere else. I don't need to be in New York. You know, I don't need to be in Chicago. Everything I can do, if I was on a New York team or a Chicago team, I've done in Cincinnati. It's the same way. I'm not sure how I created this brand like this, but, you know, I've done it, and I've done a good job at it.
You are obviously a tremendous professional athlete, and I know you're a real student of the NFL, and we're going to talk about your draft thing that you're doing here today, which is fascinating to me. So, but I have to get your opinion. What is your opinion, and what are your NFL friends saying about the Philadelphia Eagles trading Donovan McNabb within their division? We were real surprised to see him go to the Redskins that they're going to have to face twice a year.
Yeah, that is extremely, extremely, extremely rare to trade a player of that caliber within your division. It's something that rarely happens, but I think it's about the relationship that Andy Reid and maybe the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles have with Donovan McNabb to make him happy and not send him somewhere where he's still not able to compete for a championship and actually just compete to win in general.
But how much conversation must there have been about we're going to look like idiots if he comes back and beats us? You know,
hey, well, you know what? It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen because you, man, they have a great defense. The Redskins have a great defense. They just added McNabb's offense. So I think every time Philly and Washington line up, there's a chance that the Redskins have a chance to compete with Philly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, when the Eagles don't make the playoffs because of the two games they lose to the Redskins this year, I think there's going to be an awful lot of second guessing about that decision, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
let's definitely talk about what is OCNN, Chad Ochocinco?
Oh, man. I'm loving it. OCNN is a one-man social news network. You know, it's just been me, myself, really breaking news, beating mainstream media outlets to the punch on news that's going on, mainly football, because I'm able to get to the sources a lot faster than ESPN and other stations like that because I have access to the actual players. So it's been fun breaking news, reporting stuff, you know, before it even happened and getting it out to those who follow me on Twitter or whatnot. It's been really fun. And so today we're adding a new face to this to get a jump on the draft, which is going to be really interesting so we can get a beat before ESPN and all the other mainstream media outlets, you know, during the draft, because I won't be able to be there.
Now, the NFL draft is what, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, in a couple of weeks.
And you're today at 10, you're going to tell people how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah, 10 o'clock at LA Live, near the Staples Center, downtown LA. Come on down if you got time. If you're at work, just tell your boss, Chad said, I got to leave for hours. Hey, it's on me. Don't worry about it. Tell him it's on me. Just walk out of there. It, you know, 10 o'clock today at LA Live. It's going to be very interesting. And what I'm doing is gonna continue to grow and continue to grow, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Now, for people who aren't in the Los Angeles area, where do they find you online?
Oh, this is it. If anybody that's listening that's on Twitter, first off, let me tell you I love you. And if you follow me, just get ready to laugh. I'm at OG Ochocinco. OG Ochocinco.
Okay.
Yeah, you put the OG in front for originally great.
All right.
And then, of course, we can see what you're doing at 10 o'clock this morning if folks are hearing this live on the West Coast at Motorola.com/OCNN. And that's where you'll be giving out your draft picks. Now, what's the advantage to somebody hearing your draft picks 3 weeks before they are announced for reals in the NFL? I mean, are people betting on them or what?
No, nobody's betting on them. But believe me, anyone that's joining this force and this team with Motorola and OCNN is definitely worth it. And you guys are going to be surprised. You're going to like it. And That's all I can tell you, you know. Right. Again, if all y'all right. are at work, leave work right now and come on down to LA Live.
Chad says it's cool if you leave work.
All right, let's
that's
go.
What
y'all
Chad said.
Y'all leave the radio station, leave the song playing for hours.
All right. All right, look for Chad Ochocinco online and, of course, Mondays and Tuesday nights as a contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Many have predicted he will win the thing, so we'll wait and find out. Chad, whenever you get a chance, you are always welcome on the Kevin Amin Show, man. We love talking to you, and come back anytime, all right?
Well, definitely. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You bye. All right, let's talk about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because that we can all agree on.
Okay.
This is good times. There are a lot of animal stories. We don't get to enough of them, so we put them on a wheel, and then we spin it, and then whatever it lands on, we try to follow up and get some more information on the story.
And it always equals crappy radio. So we got that
You're
going for us.
You're starting that again, aren't you?
I'm here to try to help.
Again?
I'm trying to save you from yourself, and save, more importantly, save the listeners from the next 4 minutes.
But how useful was it when we got to talk to Tilly, the killer whale down at SeaWorld last week? I mean, that was an exclusive interview. Nobody else had that. It was thanks to the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices we were able to even make that call.
No.
Okay. I don't understand your argument,
right. All right.
Well, let's spin it anyway.
No.
What the hell?
No. It's time no. for the no. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land? No, no. It's going to be pretty bad, but can't.
Today, boozy ape sent to rehab, human-faced lamb in heaven, giant Japanese jellyfish, Russian dog girl, renegade kangaroo, the smiling dog, the tweeting Ugandan gorillas, Percy the albino squirrel, the Japanese attack bear, the rock-throwing elephant. All on right. the wheel today.
Okay.
So come on, Percy the albino squirrel. I'm excited to find out what's up with Percy.
Let's see here. Let's do some follow-up on the boozy ape sent to rehab.
Oh,
I
gotta go. How about that? No, don't leave, Ralph. You got to hear the story. You don't want to hear what's going on.
If you would listen once, you'd find out how entertaining.
All right, here's
I missed the call.
Here's our old friend Jimmy Kimmel.
Here's a funny animal story. I don't know what's going on in Russian zoos, but a Russian chimpanzee named Zora has been sent to rehab because he's addicted to smoking and beer. Beer. If only they could find some way to keep beer and cigarettes away from him, like maybe a cage of some kind, this wouldn't be a problem.
26-year-old ape apparently enjoys a cigarette after a meal and also likes to have some booze. And apparently now is hooked so much so that they have to send this boozy monkey, this ape, this chimpanzee to rehab.
But doesn't Jimmy ask the perfect question, which is just put him in a place where he doesn't have access to that and he'll clean himself out? You don't have to send him away for that, right?
Right, but he was originally in the circus. Then he went to the zoo. It seems like all along the way there that opportunity was available to
as it were.
Well, I don't think – obviously, if he's hooked on him, he had a regular supply of cigarettes and booze.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where. I don't know if they have an underground with monkeys that are tunneling underneath the, you know, the fences or whatever. Or they got the guys that work there that are giving him a drink.
Wow.
Well, I guess the only thing to do is to talk to somebody from the zoo. I think producer Alex was able to line up a person for us with more details on Zora, the boozy ape. And we have him on the phone right now.
Hey, round guy, how you doing?
where are we calling? Are we in China now?
This is Zane.
Huh?
Shanghai province.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's
so,
where the zoo is.
I see. Okay.
So it's a Russian ape who was working in the circus there, but now has been transferred to a zoo in China.
Yes. That's all in the story. You read it before you get on the phone.
We did.
All right. I thought maybe the listeners might be interested in some of those details as well. So, how's Zora doing?
She great. Or he great.
We don't know if it's a he or she
That's
yet.
True.
It's a he. It's a he. It's in the story.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can answer some of our questions for us. First of all, how did this chimpanzee get hooked on booze and cigarettes?
Would you rather talk to the ape itself?
Zora? The ape is there with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, put Zora on the phone.
Okay, 1 second.
Oh, the boozy ape.
All right, ape. It's phone for you. Okay, here you go.
Awesome.
Hello?
Hi, is this Zora the boozy ape?
I didn't he just said that to the boss?
Right, but we don't talk to a lot of apes.
So that's your hang-up, man. Okay. That's not my problem, you know.
Where do you get the cigarettes from, Zora?
I buy them. What do you think? I'm cheap?
Well,
what do you think? I'm cheap. I don't can't afford to buy my own cigarettes.
Most
You're starting crap with me, I start crap with you.
No, no, no. I'm saying
how about I throw some crap in your head? How you like that now?
Not even a little bit. But, Zora, most monkeys don't have money and don't buy things.
Well, I'm better than most monkeys then, I guess.
But you're also in a zoo, right?
Well, first of all, I'm not monkey, okay?
Okay.
First of all, monkey have tail. Monkey is a lower form, a primate, a crap-throwing, a ticking-fisted crap head.
Wow.
Okay? Hey, I'm ape.
So that's okay? Way better than monkey?
That's way better, all first right. of all. And that's why monkeys don't have money for smokes. And apes can, use tools and whatnot, things.
Where do you get your money from?
401k.
I'm sorry, did you say 401k?
Duh. Yeah, 401k in the circus when I was performing.
I see.
And, retirement benefits, Social Security.
Wow, good deal.
I've got, financial planning. I think of the future. I'm not stupid. I need to make some sort of plan for when I retire so I can be comfortable and have, smoking and drinking.
Now, what kind of drink do you get? What's your drink of choice?
I don't drink beer often.
You don't?
But when I do.
Yes.
It's Dos Equis. I'm the smartest ape in the world.
Yes, you are.
And the most interesting ape in the world.
That is also true.
Yes.
Well done.
As you know by now, the Weenie Roast is this Saturday. Very excited. It's going to be about 125, 130 degrees on Saturday, I understand, at the concert. That'll be good times for everybody. Lots of great...
Pete's been complaining about the heat now for a week already.
I'm just saying it's going to be warm. That's my point.
All right.
But it's going to be worth it because you're going to see Stone Temple Pilots and Hole and Deftones and all these great bands we've been telling you about. If you want to go, of course, it's completely sold out. You can win tickets and backstage passes right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for contestants. We're playing, ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll be very excited by this news, guys. Another edition of Motorboat Cleo.
Yeah! Come on! Went so well last time. We decided we needed to...
Motorboat Cleo. So you'll need to just be smart. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We got to tell you about something that is not for you if you're smart. It's called vodka eyeballing.
Ugh.
And it is, Ralph always says we need to just thin the herd. There are certain people who aren't going to make anything of themselves. And I would say this group does not need to be discouraged.
It's a pretty good guess that these people are going to be Nobel Prize winners later.
I would say let's just let this go on and everything will work itself out. Here's a little bit of news audio about this.
Eyeballs on your eyeballs. It's an eye-opening new fad. So-called eyeballers claim it's an instant high, the splash of alcohol giving them a buzz, literally, in the blink of an eye. But it's also painful and dangerous.
My parents would be proud.
Well, Mom and Dad, this is your boy. On YouTube, now on TV, shooting vodka in his eye.
Mostly young people doing this one. They are pouring vodka into their eyes for fun.
Apparently, when you put alcohol in your eyes, it gets to your system faster, so you get drunk faster. And I'm sure it also burns the shit out of your eye.
Well, that's our problem with it, is that it doesn't seem smart. And I was not aware, even when we were talking about butt chugging, that you can't drink alcohol anymore. I didn't know that it was illegal to take it in through your mouth.
Yeah, why the need for speed? This is what why do you need to be drunk instantly?
That is a great question. And the eyeball, it just seems like eyes are kind of sensitive and delicate.
Yes.
It seems to me like alcohol would be potentially very dangerous to the eye.
Right.
That would be my concern there. Even if it would give you the cheap high, wouldn't it also follow with a quick death?
Cheap high, quick death, yes.
Yeah.
Or blindness.
So we wanted to find out from the medical perspective what's the deal with this. Our old friend Dr. Mo, who is the official guy we go to for things like this, chief of surgery at Little Company of Mary in San Pedro, California, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dr. Mo, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, I know you've seen next to everything in your emergency room at your hospital. Vodka eyeballing, is that one that you've had a chance to treat in person yet?
Well, the infinite stupidity of humanity never ceases to amaze me, but I have to admit, I have not seen this yet.
If you do, just give them more vodka. I mean, to me, that's just what they need.
This is one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard you guys bring up ever.
I know, and you know,
a lot.
You know what's funny about that? If you do a search on YouTube, there are hundreds of videos.
Really?
Yeah,
of people doing it.
Last night.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard, not even this year, I mean, even last year or before, I heard about the vodka tampons. I heard that girls were trying to get right. drunk faster by putting it, you know, vaginally instead of orally, and I thought that was crazy. This is even crazier. First of all, does that work? Are people doing it, and it is successful in terms of getting the alcohol into the bloodstream faster?
Okay, I want you guys to think of one thing. How drunk do you have to be to say, you know,
right.
I'm going to stick this vodka bottle on my eye?
That's the thing.
I'm not asking you to justify it. I just want to know if it works.
No, but I'm with Dr. Mo in that you have to already be drunk to try it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
Right?
I mean, that's a good point.
No one does that sober, I would guess.
Yeah.
That's no one's first shot is what you're saying.
Right, and vodka's 40 to 50% alcohol. I mean, when you drink it, it's one of the fastest working alcohols there is. I mean, you really start feeling buzzed within minutes. What kind of rush are you in?
You have things to do.
The thing is, there's no physical way you can get it in that fast through your freaking eye. I mean, seriously, how many people have put eye drops in their eyes, that little eye drop where they go drop, drop, and like half of it runs out anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
So, seriously, you're not going to soak up that much in your eye. What's probably going to happen, and I'm betting $1 million, that 99% of these people only do it once.
Right. You know? And then they go, that was dumb. My eye sure hurts. Wow, I wish I could see out of that eye still.
They're probably running around screaming, ah, my eye. You know,
yeah.
1% of people that really do it are just so impossibly drunk and stupid that not only have they tried the eye and the butt, but the nose and through the ear and sitting in...
Wait a minute, hold on. You can drink beer with your ear? I didn't know that.
Dr. Mo...
You guys have told me about other orifices. I'm just saying.
Physically, what kind of damage, if any, could be done to an eyeball by applying alcohol to it?
Horrific amounts of damage. In fact, you can read some of the stuff on the internet about people that have gone blind, but if you just think about... Normally, the stuff you put in your eye has to be a certain concentration. You don't want to disrupt the chemistries of the eye because either going too acidic or too basic or too whatever can irritate that delicate lining that covers your eye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, people can put contact lenses on it, but you know, over the years, they've become more physiologic and more like your own body. And there's nothing remotely like your body than vodka.
Here's my point. This has to be the bottom 1%. Right?
Oh,
I mean, this has to be the dregs.
You have to agree with Ralph here that, literally, the only problem is I don't agree with letting these people do it.
You have to thin the herd, Doctor. We have too many.
But it doesn't thin the herd, it just blinds the herd.
Exactly right. We have a blind herd.
Now we got to pay for the herd.
And we also
then you got stupid blind people. That's all that's left.
And we also need to follow people who go blind with this and not give them any,
assistance
or special parking or anything else.
How did you go blind?
Right. I put vodka in my eye.
We're corralling him.
Vodka eyeballing? I'm sorry. You don't get a dog. Sorry.
There he is.
All right, Dr. Mo, this is one rare instance that we thought we were right and just wanted to confirm. So the official policy of the Kevin and Bean Show is don't vodka eyeball, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Unless you're dying to go blind. Let's say that's your goal.
And then go right away.
You
all
go.
Right, Dr. Mo, Chief of Surgery, Little Company, Mary San Pedro, California. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, dude. We always appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
So, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Go to K-Rock.com if you like details on how to buy tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Nope, for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, which is coming up very soon. It is 6:43.
Kevin may have come back a day too early, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right, it's the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. The Maxim Hot 100 issue is on newsstands this week. We love this issue so much. In fact, I usually have to buy two, one to use and one to save.
Oh.
But every year we look forward to talking to the editor-in-chief of Maxim about the selection process. And, of course, as always, we've got some quibbles with some of the selections and their rankings. Joe Levy joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show once again. Hi, Joe. How are you, man?
I am good. How are you guys?
We are good.
Everybody,
we
are Christmas shopping started now?
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
We're always so happy, as I know the rest of your readers are, about this issue. How much time goes into selecting your Hot 100 and putting this mag together?
Oh, it's a year's work. I mean, there's the arguments about next year's list will start right now.
Okay.
I think you guys are going to start the arguments right now.
I'd like to start the argument with number 57. I'd like to start the argument with that, and I would like you to say next year, if you include Kesha, the list is 1,000% bogus.
Okay. First off, that's number 56.
Okay, whatever.
And I know
is she
your
on the list
for that spot was Betty White, and I'm sorry to disappoint you.
See, well, that's funny. You put Kesha on the list.
Yes, I did. That was me.
Maxim Hot 100.
Of the Hot 100. Yeah, well, you know, she knows how to party, and we like that.
That's
you know?
What okay, she says.
Maybe we need to back up one step here, Joe, because clearly the criteria that you're using to select women is not whether they're attractive or not. There must
now,
be something
minute,
else going
minute,
on.
Wait a minute. Have you actually seen the pictures? Are you looking at the pictures?
We yes. look at the pictures in depth.
That's all I do all day is look at the
all
pictures.
Right.
But Kesha has no boobs. She's got a big, fat, square ass. You wouldn't want to see this woman in a bikini, much less naked. I suspect you put her on the list because she's popular.
Have
right?
you guys actually met Kesha?
No.
Okay, all right. So I just want to confirm that she has boobs. You know, I mean, that's all been done with eyesight, not with tactile investigation.
All right.
But I have right. been in the room, and they are there. They're real, and they're spectacular.
So is
really? That, right. I can't. I find that hard to believe just based
well,
on
dude,
the
you know, what can I tell you? You know, she actually, okay. has, there's no squareness on the,
right.
but listen, I understand you guys are hating on Kesha.
All right, let me ask you
I
this.
I actually find her funny. I find
okay,
her
fine.
Record funny.
Is this the top 100 funny singers? All right, let me just ask you this question. Is Kesha indeed hotter than Gabrielle Union, Lindsey Vonn, Alessandra Ambrosio, Odette Yustman,
oh.
Yvonne Strahovski, Kelly Brook, and Keeley Hazel?
Well, you might have me on Kelly Brook and Alessandra Ambrosio.
I would have you on every one of those names.
No. The others, I'm going to come out there and thumb wrestle you guys into submission.
Odette Yustman, really?
We have seen her in person.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, she's amazing. Look, Kesha's not as hot as Warren Sapp, okay? She doesn't belong anywhere on this list, but we're clearly not going to be able to agree on this. Get back to the criteria for one second. Some of it clearly has to be the impact they're making in pop culture, right? Because somebody like Olivia Munn, who I think is very hot, very beautiful, well-deserving to be on the list, she went from 90-something last year into the top 10 this year. That's because her profile has been raised, not because she's hotter, right?
That is because her profile has been
it's
raised.
Both.
You're absolutely right. We're looking at the total package, which does include what are these women doing right now this year? What have they done in the last few months? What's coming up? Olivia's profile has been raised. Her Maxim cover earlier this year
right.
was one of the things that raised her profile. And I've got to say, our reader's response to that cover was part of what moved her up the Hot 100.
And rightfully so.
I think that's legitimate.
The top 10, number 10 is Marissa Miller. Number 9 is Kim Kardashian. Number 8, Olivia Munn. Number 7 is I don't know how to say her name.
Elisabetta Canales.
George Clooney's girlfriend. Number 6 is Rihanna. Number 5 is Megan Fox. Number 4, Blake Lively. Number 3, Zoe Saldana. Number 2, Brooklyn Decker. Number 1, Katy Perry. Now, number 1, Katy Perry.
Yes.
That's just something we could all agree on.
You don't want to actually go with the square butt and
no.
with Katy Perry.
No.
Okay. Katy's, she's next to perfect.
What?
And let me tell you something else about this, Joe, and I don't know if you have this category, but a woman is hotter to me if she seems like a lot of fun and has a great personality, and Katy just is... She's a 10 on every level.
That's what I like about you, is that you look at the whole lady.
Yeah, that's me. That's what he's known for.
Your brains are a turn-on for you. That's what I've always admired about you.
That's what he's known for.
Absolutely. Katy Perry is the complete package and
absolutely.
Then some.
Yeah.
She is gorgeous. She's also extremely talented. Plus, she's a lot better, I think we can all admit, at skateboarding than any of us.
Well,
she's
that's true.
Better at everything than any of us.
Oh, okay.
I love her so much. I don't want her to marry Russell Brand. That's how much I love her.
Scarlett Johansson was before Iron Man 2 or after Iron Man 2? Had you already seen it?
No, we had not already seen it.
Because
there is a little bit of ass kicking in a leather outfit that
yes.
she does in that movie that actually,
that should move her up like about 10 spots.
I think it only confirms what we already know, but it was
right.
a tremendous amount of fun. If only the movie had been nothing but that, I would still be in the theater right
no, I
now.
I agree. I agree.
I got one question for you. Joe Levy on the line, editor-in-chief of Maxim. You can go to Maxim.com, by the way, to see pictures and video of all the ladies we're discussing and so much more in the top 100. And you can get thumbnail photos at KevinandBean.com if you want to check that out this morning. Adriana Lima, not on the list at all?
Whoa.
Adriana Lima was on the list last year. Now, it's been a minute since we've seen Adriana. She took a little time off to start a family.
Right.
She'll be back in the swing of things next year.
Okay.
Look for her to reappear.
Okay.
In a spectacular
manner. She's gone because she got knocked up and fat. That's basically why she's not on the list.
No, I wouldn't put it that way. I think
nor will I.
It's a miracle. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But as we were discussing before, we're actually looking at what these women are doing in the last few months and the next few months.
All right. So. We're going to have to leave it there. But, Joe, we couldn't be bigger fans of the magazine or this list. In fact, I'd like to suggest, and maybe this is the next Facebook groundswell campaign, that really you, the editors at Maxim, should be picking the next Supreme Court justice. That's what I think should be happening, because I am not happy with the selections they've been making lately.
You're not. I know. You're stumping for Betty White there as well.
Well, it's just that they're putting all sorts of chicks on the court, which is great. But come on. Some of the ladies from your list deserve a shot. That's what I'm saying.
Arianny Celeste, for one. She should be a Supreme Court justice.
I think that Jennifer Love Hewitt has distinguished herself with a long career in public service, and it is time for her to wear that robe.
All right. Hey, she could talk to ghosts, so she could do anything. All right, Joe. Great job, as always, except for the whole Kesha thing at number 56. But we'll revisit that with you next year. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Apparently, Kevin, with all the excitement over watching the Grammys last night, apparently we missed the Steven Seagal marathon on Spike TV. Apparently that happened.
Yeah. Have they quit? Have they given up at Spike? Steven Seagal?
That is a really good question.
Because they did a marathon all day. I think it was Hard to Kill and Above the Law. And then there was Out for Justice. Always three words. Always someone dying.
Right.
Today You Die. Fight of Fury. And then there was a new one called Driven to Kill.
Driven to Kill. I looked this one up, and we're getting ready to go to Mr. Seagal on the phone. Get ready for bullets, blood, and bodies hitting the ground, because international action superstar Steven Seagal is back. Yeah. How did we miss Driven to Kill? Is this direct-to-DVD, or what's the deal with this new movie? So we thought we'd find out with Steven Seagal, who's back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steven, how are you, man?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Last time we talked to you was about your reality series, Lawman, and now you're back with a new film, too.
That's right. Steven Seagal. That's right.
Right.
I'm back.
Right.
That's right. Steven Seagal.
Right. You're back.
Back on Spike TV.
Tell us about Driven to Kill.
Which is appropriate because I drove the first Spike into the Pacific Railway.
You did?
I don't think that was like 150 years ago. Yes. Yes, it was. I'm 200 years old.
That's not possible.
I'm a Shaolin Buddhist priest. I'm also a lawman in Louisiana.
Right. Sure. I've seen
right,
that.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Who dat? Who'd that be a lawman down there? That's right. Steven Seagal.
Do you, you're rooting for the Saints in the Super Bowl this weekend, Steven?
I'm sorry, who?
The Saints? You said who, Dad? I thought maybe you were a New Orleans Saints fan?
Sure.
Well, what's Driven to Kill all about besides bullets, blood, and bodies? Because frankly, the release of this one escaped us.
I play a man who's driven to kill.
Right.
I've got a driver.
Right.
And I'm in the back seat, and he drives me, and...
And what do you do?
I kill.
You kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have it. I'm a talented blues singer and artist.
I know. You fancy yourself that.
I do.
Yeah.
And I invented the fork.
That's also not true.
I don't think that was
I kill with a fork when I'm driven to the place where I kill.
It sounds like maybe you haven't seen the movie or don't really remember the plot very much.
I play Poseidon. God of the sea.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with this.
I turn the KGB into a collection of bobbleheads, and then I'm the pilot for Air Force One, I think, towards the end of the film.
I doubt all of that, to tell you the truth.
I think I'm...
Oh, no. No.
Now, you don't need to sing, Steven.
I'm driven to kill! And...
Is that it?
When I kill you... That's because I've been driven to it. I don't want to kill anybody, but I've been driven to kill.
So it's not really your fault.
Wow. Is that a finished song, or are you just making that up?
Oh, no, it's my new record.
Your new record?
Yeah, it's gone platinum already.
Has it?
It was released this morning.
Nope.
It will be.
It will be.
I'm a renowned psychic.
Okay, you're a renowned psychic. Yes. All right, yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
You're not really any of this stuff.
I'm the president of the Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences Emmy Grammy organization.
There's no such thing as that organization.
And so they gave me all the awards last night.
You weren't up for any awards.
Did you see my Grammy award I got last
night? No, you didn't win a Grammy.
You weren't. New blues artist.
You weren't there, and they didn't give that award away.
Oh, I got a Grammy!
You didn't get a Grammy, Steven.
Just
podcast went off the air. They gave me the biggest Grammy they ever made. Took seven guys to carry it.
Wow.
Because it's a special Grammy given just to me. And Taylor Swift got one too, and now we're dating.
You're not dating Taylor Swift.
Very much in love.
You're like 50. You're a fat 50-year-old.
Taylor Swift and I.
No.
I don't think that's true.
No, we just broke up.
No. Okay, wow. Things move quickly in your world, don't they?
That's right. Stevens, go.
All right, Stevens. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I just want to say up front, Lisa May, it's been great working with you.
Oh,
it's been great.
No,
no, I'm saying we've had a lot. We've had a lot of really, we've had a lot of fun with Lisa. I've enjoyed it, but it's time to move over a chair. That's all I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful Olivia Munn has joined us here in studio on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. Happy New Year to
you,
my dear.
Happy New Year. It's very
Olivia is, without a doubt, the busiest person on the planet. I don't know how she survives. With how much sleep do you get a night, Olivia?
Last night I got 3 hours, and the night before. I think I have an ulcer.
Well, I know why.
I'm pretty sure. I didn't. That's what's surprising me right now, is that, like usually I think I can go, and then I'm like, is it bad when it just burns 24/7?
No, that's a good sign.
Okay. Yeah,
that's very healthy.
Sign. Everything right.
I used to follow you on Twitter, and then I got worn out just reading your schedule.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just go, wow, I couldn't do half of that.
Yeah, most of it's just made up to make me look more important than I am.
Okay.
Right. Usually I'm just sitting at home watching The Locator.
But literally, there was one day last week where you said, and I wanted, this is, I'm glad we have you in, because Kevin brings up a good point. It's exhausting to follow you. Did you really have 8 meetings in one day,
that,
were you just making that up? Because
that
how do you
Friday.
Have 8, how can there be enough things going on in anyone's life that require 8, the President of the United States doesn't have 8 meetings in a day.
It literally was kept getting more packed and more packed, and it was just, I started at 7 a.m. and I went all day long until like 8, 9 p.m.
Was it one topic, one company, or just all different things?
Oh, no, it was all over. I mean,
all different
it was,
things.
I mean, it,
you're
it,
driving all over
everywhere,
the place?
Everywhere, like from Burbank to the Valley to Santa Monica,
are
back
you,
to Burbank.
Are wow. you able to say, pretty busy day, maybe could we reschedule?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that because I'm like, well, I can do that meeting. I can totally do that. It's really hard. Then I pack it way too much. And then as like last minute on Friday, they're like, we have a meeting, like an audition on Saturday, actually, for, you know, it was this NBC audition. So they go in on Saturday, which is very unusual. And so I go home late, and I'm like, I was going to go out and just have dinner with friends, but I couldn't go home late, study all my lines, get up, and I'm at the audition. It's like, no one's there. Like, no one's there. It's like...
Just you?
They
just
have the
me.
Day wrong?
Wait. There was no people for you to audition for?
There was... The door was locked.
Oh!
I was there for half an hour. For half an hour, just sitting there. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Why did you wait a half hour?
Well... Because I would have felt bad if I left.
Blown the audition, right?
Yeah. Well, because I have an insane amount of guilt that follows me through my whole life. I'm just like, every day, I'm like, well, I would hate to feel like that I left in 15 minutes. If I would have waited 15 minutes...
Then you would have thought, 20th minute the guy comes and everything's ready. Oh, I would love to see the security footage of that, wouldn't you? To see you like outing and thieving.
This is weird. I'm scratching your head a little bit. Then you start getting mad. Come on. It's been 20 minutes. What's going on?
Then I just cry and start cutting.
Olivia, by the way, besides being a very close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is the co-host of Attack of the Show on G4, which is a huge rating sensation weeknights at 7. She also is on the cover of the January 2010 issue of Maxim magazine, which may be the finest thing you've ever done, Olivia, if I may say, if I may be so bold.
Thank you.
Here's what I thought, and I hope you're not insulted by this, but I'm holding the Maxim cover.
Yes.
I thought, super cute, of course, great body and a bikini, double amputee. She's pretty hot for a double amputee. Because she's sitting on the edge of a pool, and from the knees down, her legs disappear.
No one has ever said that, and that is so
no
true.
No legs.
I'm looking at it, and you're right.
My stump. My lovely little stump. Amputee.
I don't know. That was my first thought, and then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything.
That is so true. I'm actually really self-conscious about my shins, and it's in my contract that no one can show my shin.
Well, from all those years, you were catcher for the Mets.
It was really hard.
What goes through your mind, and I know this sounds like a dumb question, but you don't feel the least bit sexy when you're at a photo shoot like that with the makeup and the hair and the lights and the camera and all that? I mean, how do you fake the funk?
Or do you?
Well, this one is different. This Maxim one, there's a photographer named Miko Lim
who's unbelievable. And he just has two little cameras, like handheld cameras. No one goes with you. There's no lights. It's all natural lighting. It's you just we just go into like there are a lot of them in the inside. We're inside like a bedroom. And everyone, he makes everyone leave, and it's just you and the photographer.
Are you sure that he works for Maxim?
Is there any film in that camera?
Something in the camera. That sounds odd.
So, okay, there was a really, like, it was super low-key, and everyone was just, I was so excited to be doing it. And, you know, a really funny story I'll tell you guys is that, they had offered me different spreads throughout, like, the year, actually. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying no, not because I didn't think that being in Maxim was great and that doing a spread was great. It's just that I had already done so many, like, sexy spreads, and then...
I just speak for a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, do too many.
But speaking for a publicist, she's like, okay, we need to put more clothes on her. And then we thought, well, the only way to do this is, like, for the cover of Maxim. And I actually... There was this inner office email that went around that I was supposed to see, and I kept turning down their, like, five-page spreads, like, two or three times. And finally, there was this email that went out that was like, who does she think she is? No one turns down Maxim. She's not ready for the cover. And, you know, we don't know if she'll, you know, she'll be ready for a while. And somebody showed me the email, and I was like, oh, that's disgusting. It's not going to change my mind. I still don't want to do it. But just rude to, like, you know, and then before you know it, a couple months later, they offered me the cover. Ah. And so now I'm going to frame the cover and that letter.
That's
side
perfect.
Side by side.
You go.
Yeah, I like it.
So I was excited to do the cover.
Now, have you been able to continue to do your television show every day? Because it seems like with all the traveling, I know you've done a lot of stuff in other parts of the country as well.
I can answer that. She's on about a day to two a week.
No, I get on as much as I can. I'll be there.
Are you too
week.
Big for cable is what I'm asking at this point, I guess.
No way. I love cable. It's great. I can do what I want and say what I want. It's fantastic. And then my show is live, so it's great because you can go on and do it and leave.
Oh, that's the best.
As long as you're in town, right? But so often you're not.
Yeah, but then when I'm in town, I do it. And then when I'm not in town, I'm usually just hanging out, getting facials.
Tell me about
waiting for the bell.
Tell me about, I didn't see the episode, I saw the photos of you as an avatar.
Oh, yeah, that's so it's like every year they do a Best of Olivia special, and so this year we...
It was like the top Olivia of 2009 or something.
Yeah, or just like all the stuff that I've done from the years. And then so I'm good friends with Eva Murray, and so then we had this ongoing thing on my show, yes. And then, wait for it again, this will be a big one. We became good friends with Susan Sarandon, and so then... it came with this ongoing like joke about Susan, and then I had Eva come on and host for me one time when I was on the East Coast.
Right.
And then we just thought, let's just do one big like Thelma and Louise skit.
Right.
But we didn't know how to do it right, so they put Thelma and Louise meets Avatar, and then it's basically Thelma and Louise drive off a cliff and into Avatar.
Oh.
The people are smoking that came up with that idea.
If you had to get the blue, the makeup, though, you had to get the avatar type makeup, though, which was so creepy looking.
Hours and hours of makeup. Yeah. And then I had to take four showers, and I had blue on my back for like a week.
Can't reach it.
I couldn't reach it.
I'm blue.
I really couldn't.
What are you going to do?
I know. I was in bed, and my friend was like, what's on your back?
You're blue.
Like I was, you know, banging a Smurf.
Were you?
Doggy style. That's why it's all over the back.
Were you?
No, I was not.
Just asking. All right. Olivia Munn is here.
I know. Got into dead air.
Yeah, well, I was sidetracked for a minute.
Kevin was distracted.
Olivia Munn is here. Attack of the Show is on weeknights at 7 o'clock on G4. She's the Maxim cover girl and the issue that is out right now. And we'll take a quick break and come right back.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. You didn't have to spend the last 5 minutes like we did listening to Psycho Mike try to impress Olivia Munn, our guest in studio. It was actually very sad and very embarrassing, I must be honest. Olivia, of course, is the co-host of Attack of the Show, weeknights at 7 on G4 on the current issue of Maxim magazine, January 2010 on newsstands now. You can see her as a double amputee. And you have a book coming out in July. You also have, is this a magazine called Hey Olivia?
Yeah, there is some people who gave like five people the opportunity to make their own magazine for their fans, like Kid Rock and Pharrell Williams and Russell Simmons and myself and Brett Ratner, and we all made magazines. And so mine, I actually did a photo shoot just for my fans, like a 20-page spread, and then I took Twitter questions and just kind of created a whole magazine for them, and it's called Hey Olivia, and you can get it on like mymag.com/Olivia Munn, I think.
Is there anything that you're not doing?
I'm hoping to create a hybrid vehicle and finish my hoverboard.
Good luck with that.
But I haven't finished that yet, so I'm not talking about it.
For Maxim, how many pictures do you take?
There's a lot of pictures. I actually
seen three. Okay, that's my complaint.
No, Maxim.
How many are taken?
I think there was eight.
Were there eight? Okay.
Yeah.
How many were taken?
Hundreds.
Yeah. But you know, I do have actually. I have some, and I'll post them today.
Okay.
That the photographer sent me that weren't published. That he said I could put out.
Okay.
That are
because they were too nipply, or what was the problem with them?
No, they just didn't pick them. I don't know why they just didn't pick them. But there's a good like 6-page spread in there, and then there's another picture in the way in the back and. In the front.
In the front, too, yeah.
Yeah, there's...
All right.
There's
eight. He's found them all.
No, but I'm just saying there's hundreds.
There's hundreds. What
Someone's
do you want?
Bogarting a lot of pictures.
Well, that's why you need the Hey Olivia magazine, because it's a whole magazine of just pictures.
Now, Olivia, I know you're a big football fan. You've told us that in the past when you come in. Do you still have a team in the race for the Super Bowl?
No. I really love college football, so Oklahoma is my team. But I've never been to the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure I'm going this year, like working some stuff out. But
you don't have an NFL team that you like?
No. Uh-uh.
I got news for you. 90% of the people that are at a Super Bowl.
It's not one of their teams.
It's not one of their teams. Yeah. It's just like a client thing. You know,
I'm a big underdog fan.
So whoever's the underdog, you root for.
All right.
Did you watch any of the games this weekend?
No.
Do you watch much football?
No, I got my first house. And so I have yeah, thanks. So, but we're doing like some renovation on the inside, so I haven't had TV for a month.
That must kill you. You must hate that.
It's the worst thing ever.
Because you love TV.
Bean would literally die.
I
wouldn't do it. I'd live someplace else.
Do you go to sleep with the TV on?
I don't have a television in my bedroom. I wish I could.
That's stupid. I have to have
I know,
TV
I agree.
Everywhere.
But you have a laptop, right? So you can watch whatever
you
want.
Yeah, but I don't like to search, or I don't like buffering and all that. It's so annoying. I'd rather watch TV.
You don't have time. No time.
So I've learned to read.
What's that?
What?
Describe that to us.
I don't even know. There's pages and ink.
Sounds terribly boring.
I know. It's really hard for me to fall asleep without a TV. So I haven't watched anything. And I haven't watched any of my Bridezilla or Locator. Horrible TV that I watch.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to the Super Bowl at all?
Not this year, no.
How come you're breaking your whole...
I went for 12 or 13 years, and it was great. But then it started... You know what it was? It was the year that it was in Detroit. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to Detroit. Detroit blows.
Well, Detroit in January is not a fun time.
And I went there one time before when the Super Bowl was in Detroit, and it was the entire city was covered with ice, like dirt, ice and dirt mixture. And you can't walk on it, so you have to like scoot on your ass, like wherever you're going, and it was just miserable.
Image of you just like carrying, like just on your.
Yeah, but because I had a few drinks, I wasn't as stable as I should have been, so I just went ahead and then Matt Money Smith, who I was with, dropped me off at the wrong hotel on purpose because he knew how drunk I was, and mine was like 2 miles away. So I scooted on my ass. I'm telling you, Detroit's not where you want to go, but Miami is one of the cities.
So that's a bad city when Detroit can kill your Super Bowl tradition.
Right. Right. So and anyway, the other plan was that we were going to go to the World Cup in South Africa this year. So that was going to replace the trip, and then that got canceled.
I'm sending my stepfather and my little brother there. That was what they asked for Christmas. I was like, you guys are asking for a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do I want to be on your Christmas gift list? That's sweet.
Can I tell you something that you'll hate to hear?
Yes.
The reason we canceled our trip is because I have a friend who's one of the owners of the European teams. And he says the political unrest is way worse than anyone knows.
Oh.
And if you're American looking, you could be kidnapped. And I don't know if you saw over the weekend, they have the Africa Cup of Nations.
Yes, I saw that.
One of the teams got machine gunned in a bus.
Yeah.
Angola.
Yeah.
They were hiding under the seats for 20 minutes while machine gunners were just opening up on the bus.
But Olivia's not going to be on a team, though, or her family's not going to be on a team. I mean...
No, but he said if you look American...
Right.
Thankfully, my little brother doesn't. He looks like me, but then...
Okay, good. So he could...
But then my stepfather is white. Is just white.
Yeah. He needs to brown it up. He needs that spray tan or something.
Remember earlier when I started saying I think I have an ulcer?
Yeah. So I didn't mean to...
Is it flaring?
I just feel
right
it
now?
Burning. I think it's turned into a bleeding ulcer now.
I didn't mean to necessarily add to that.
But that's
scary.
But I
think they're gonna know, just like when the Olympics come to town, the government's going to do everything they can to put the best face on Johannesburg for the world. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have a ton of security, and they're going to do everything they can to make it safe for people who
like
go.
Like China?
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah, like China.
Oh, yeah. You sure they'll be fine, and then...
Now you're going to worry the whole time.
No.
Now, you guys just covered CES.
Yeah, we did.
Was Kevin there, or were you there, too?
No, Kevin went, and he did field reporting as we hosted from here. It was the best.
And
I
had Chris Hardwick, and then
Chris. Uh-huh. Chris and I stayed home. I love when somebody else does all the work, and then I just
host the pieces.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. No, I get to be there and just toss to them.
Have you ever been to CES?
Yeah, the last few years.
Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Unbelievable. With the porn convention right next door.
Yeah. Hasn't gone unnoticed as well. Always the same weekend.
It's a twofer. Yeah, no. It's intense out there. And I remember last year we were just kind of disappointed. We just remember going there and there's all this hype, but then nothing really.
What was the big thing? There's always something that takes over that weekend. What was it this year?
This year,
was there one?
I don't think there really was one huge thing. I mean, there's a lot of. I remember there was a the projection thing that we always talk every year. It's projection and thinner TVs. There's like a 1-inch TV that was really thin, but that's basically, I mean, I think that's so unbelievable, and a lot of it's like just in theory, like now in this would work,
maybe we can make
prototype.
This happen,
yeah,
but most of the time it's just like a step up from what they had
last
year.
Yeah, it's like smaller, faster.
Yeah, usually we started going to CES and we would go like all day Friday, we'd go there Friday, stay there all day, then we'd go all day Saturday, and then we realized it was all pretty much the same, so we cut out the Saturday and we would just go gamble or party or whatever on Saturday, and we would just go on Friday.
Yeah.
And then we got tired of that, so we would just like show up for an hour, and then the whole rest of the weekend was just partying. It was not going
and I don't know if it's wrong. I mean, wrong for me to say this being at G4, but I think these huge conventions are just, I mean, there's too much, I mean, there's... It could be a Friday in April, and they're going to release some huge phone. That's the big news of the day. It's like to have one huge convention for everything. It's like it's not that much different from last year,
right?
Which is why we just sent somebody there,
and then you just go to the porn thing instead.
The porn, and that's the same thing. It's the same. I mean, how many times can you see the same thing?
Have you been to the porn awards?
No,
they have the AVN Awards show.
Have you?
Yes, all the girls dress up like it's the Oscars. Seriously, take it that seriously. And this is going to shock you because I'm a guy and I like sex and all. Mm-hmm. Got so bored I left halfway through.
Oh my God.
But the one thing that stood out was there was a girl who won best.
Backdoor?
Yes, best backdoor.
Look
thank
at
you,
that.
Lisa.
And I know this story.
Got up to the podium and thanked her mom and dad who were in the audience.
Who were there
attending the awards.
Hey, you guys, you're my inspiration.
Did she cry?
Yeah, she was crying
while they were
like,
filming it, too.
What's happening right now? She's thanking her mom and dad because she won best
she's
backdoor
like, especially
video?
You, Dad.
Oh, not you. I wouldn't know any of this. Yeah, it's a little freaky, but anyway, that's a fun weekend.
That's hilarious.
All right. Olivia Munn, I'm sorry. We're running out of time here.
I'd like to end on that.
Weeknight, 7 p.m. on G4. You can watch the attack of the show. And the Maxim cover girl, she's out. The January 2010 issue is out now.
So, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
To you, too.
Thank
good
you
to
too.
See you. And thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Kevin is first day back from vacation. He missed the excitement off air last week that we're now excited to be able to bring on the air because I think this is a topic that needs to be discussed. Psycho Mike, what happened?
About a week ago, a girl I do not know that well, okay? She's a friend of a friend, and I know her by first name, but we're not pals,
right.
Approached me and said, Mike, can I talk to you about something? I said, sure, what's
now,
up?
Does she know you're a trainer or were a trainer? Is it about that? Did you say it was at the gym?
It was at the gym, but this had nothing to do
nothing
with physical
to do with training.
Okay. She approached me and said, Mike, can I talk to you? And she had like a serious tone in her voice, and I said, sure. She said, no, in private. And I'm starting to think, what did I do?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The first thing that came into my mind is, how did I offend this woman?
You go through the Rolodex of
me.
Your actions.
It's me.
Right.
And then you think, do I have a booger? What's good? She's trying to tell me something privately. What's going on here?
So we walk outside, and there's like a little table area, and she sits me down. And she said, here's the deal. I'm 42 years old. I'm very successful financially. I've achieved everything I want in my life, but I was married once. I'm divorced now, and I'm getting to the point where I realize it's probably not going to happen to me with relationships, and right. I want to have a baby. and you fit all the criteria that I'm looking for.
Happened? You made her dreams come true?
So she says the words, I want to have a baby, and you fit all the criteria that I'm looking for. And before she could get that last sentence out, I was like, do I get to hump you? Right.
Which I love, by the way. I love that that's Mike's first question is, how do I get to put a baby in you?
No, she's asking.
Yeah. I mean, right. But I mean,
but
some
people... he wants to know the process, right?
Yeah. Well, of course. But some people, the most important thing would be, what about me having a kid? Am I involved in all of this life? Do I know this kid? I mean, that would be the first thing I would think. Not tell me about method of delivery.
Yeah. Well, I was really interested.
Heterosexual guys. Let's talk.
Yes. You and me. And turns out she didn't want me to do it organically. She wanted...
her.
Yeah. And she
No.
No, but I'm saying...
She had a she had contracts and everything taken care of, and she wanted me to look over it with an attorney, and I would not have to be a part of this kid's life.
Wait, then she brought you the she had the paperwork.
No. She was letting me know that she did, and that would be taken care of, and then I could be able to look over it with an attorney, and I would get paid.
What? Okay, now here's this is the part I need to know about, because unless there's a financial incentive, there's no reason for you to do a favor of this magnitude to a essential stranger, right?
Right, unless unless his first question is yes. Unless she says, yes, you can do it with me, then there's the payoff.
Yeah. And
how much payment? Can you tell us?
You know what? I don't even really know. Because to be fully honest with you guys, I turned it down.
Before you got to how much money?
Let me
turn
tell you
your
why.
Key card, Alex, on your
let
way
Let me
out.
Tell you why. For one thing, I'd just be doing my business into like a Petri dish, so it didn't really matter anyway.
But wait a minute. I know you better than that. Yeah. You had to negotiate over how it was going to happen.
No.
There's no negotiation.
She said, no. You can think about it. I don't expect you to answer right now. I was like, I'm going to answer it.
I can answer right now. If you want the water, you get it out of the spigot. That's what you tell her.
Right from the hose.
Wait, I thought this was still in play. You've already turned it down. I thought that was the whole point of talking about it, is that you were thinking about it.
Well,
and you
I mean,
sure.
I was blown away. I was blown away by this.
Well, of course.
It doesn't work that way, though.
I mean, it just seemed so odd.
Well, for one thing, she doesn't really know you that well.
Well, but she doesn't she doesn't really care because she doesn't want me to be a part of her life.
You want to know more details about someone that you were asking to father a child?
She clearly only cared about his tattoos. I mean, she wants a baby with an Aussie tattoo.
She did.
And she thought that's how you do it.
And
she wanted him to be all tan.
Before you guys got to that point, I'm sure she would ask for some sort of medical testing, and she would find out about your past addiction problems and things like that. I mean, those are the types of things you want to know if your kid's going to be predisposed to that sort of behavior, right?
Right. And you know, maybe like 700 sheets of acid and stuff. Like, who knows if my brain is all screwed up and I'm going to pass that along to my kid.
So did you say just no or let's talk again?
No. Well, here, we talked about it for
over dinner and a roofie.
We talked about it for about 10 minutes, and then I said, to be honest with you, I'm going to let you know I can't do this. For me, personally, I just couldn't live with the idea of having a kid out there.
That you have nothing to do with.
And not being a part of its life. And
you mean another kid out there that you have nothing to do with?
Well, but here's the best part. I don't know if I have any kids out there. So I can live at peace. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask, don't tell. But knowing that I have a baby out there and not really doing anything to be a part of its life and stuff, that would eat away at me. I'm just not that type of person. So I turned it down. But I was totally blown away that this chick would come up to me and ask me to put a baby in her.
Let me ask you this question. Would all of those worries about having a kid out there and all that noble stuff that you were just talking about, does that all go away if you get to have sex with her?
Yeah. Probably. It's so funny how my boner will overwhelm.
Sounds to me like Kevin just negotiated the deal for you, Mike. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here in 2010. I can't believe we're about to talk to Courtney Love again. It seems like it's been a million years since we had her on the show, but we understand she is settling into a studio in New York, and she's going to be available for us in 1 second. I do hear commotion. That does sound like Courtney.
Oh!
There we go. That's the Courtney we know and love and miss.
I'm so sorry. I forgot how serious it got.
You're not sorry. Okay, and where are you? You in England?
Yeah, I'm in London.
Oh, man.
And I forgot Really, I did, because you know, I have the song Samantha. People like you suck. People like me.
Yeah.
People like you suck. People like me suck. People like you suck.
Yeah, Courtney, it's gotten much worse here. The words have grown in number that we're not allowed to say. Yeah. So it's
really? Like what else? Balls?
Probably, yeah.
Well, sure. Courtney, this won't surprise you that we were in a one-hour meeting this week about whether we could call someone a dick or not. That's how ridiculous it's getting in the United States. So you might as well just stay where you are.
Right. That's exactly what we were saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're joking now.
We're not. No.
No, I'd be completely serious. All right, listen, enough about that.
We have a great liberal elite in our country. I don't understand why we can't use a little bit of slang.
Well, it hasn't.
They're not running the corporations.
Hasn't trickled down yet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it's true. Who said that? What's that girl? There's a girl on the show.
What's
on
the show? That's Lisa.
Still Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Am I going to torture you? Am I going to like you? You're going to like me. All Courtney, right, what's your story? No, I want to know about the chick on your show.
I've been on the show forever.
Courtney, we haven't had you on the air in years. Yeah. We'd like to ask about your music.
I just had coffee with Stryker like 3 times, and that's it. And then I made up with Kevin, which was awesome. Stryker's hot. I wish he hadn't gone on TV and spilled that secret, though.
Did he have a tail?
That he has
that
tail
he's hot.
And little
hot.
Horns.
Yeah.
No, he's a hottie. Listen,
he is a hottie.
Listen, I sleep with him. I know what you're talking about.
Everybody stop.
Cute. I just wish he didn't go on TV and blow that, because he's also age appropriate. And then I had to meet Mrs. Stryker. That was kind of a depressing evening.
Mrs. Stryker is depressing for all other women to meet, by the way. She's gorgeous, isn't she?
Oh yeah, I know. She's a little young for him, don't you think?
I don't think so at all.
No, hey, they're a perfect match.
Now, Courtney. All right, listen, let's clear the deck here. Courtney Love is with us on the Kevin Amin Show. Kevin's right. We
have a LA. How are you?
All right. First of all, hi. Second of all, how are you feeling? What's going on? What's new? What's the latest? Fill us up. Fill us in.
Fill us up.
Yeah, you can't say fill us up anymore either.
No. I've got a cold because, poor me, I had to fly commercial to Milan for a fashion show.
Yeah,
they promised a private jet. It's rough to be me. Actually, I don't have any credit cards. I have a debit card because I'm in a lawsuit with American Express. That's boring. But I'm in London.
Right.
And, you know, I'm getting by on my debit card.
Okay.
With 12 grand on it. It sort of blows. But, you know, I'm eating my macaroons. And anyway, we came here to play some shows, warm up, play this little thing called the Enemy Awards, present on the Brits, like that.
Is this the band Hole or is this private?
This is the band Hole. Okay. You better learn to love this band Hole.
We love
Mikko Larkin. Okay. Skinny Little Bitch, for instance, is a song that was written in 10 minutes by myself and Larkin.
Okay.
Larkin is a 20, I think he's 21 now. I've had him since he was 18. He's like Francis's older brother-ish.
Okay.
She thinks of him as a younger brother. She calls him Effer. Let's put the uck in that. And he calls her Chopsy. So,
okay.
And then she says things to him like, you're not cool. Like, that's what she puts on his Facebook.
Excellent.
So, like, even though me and Francis had a little strop, we're fine now. And also, she still tells him he's an effer on his Facebook pretty much every day.
Well, it sounds like she should. It sounds like she's doing the right thing.
Yeah. They just have a little relationship.
All right, Courtney, because
people
will
want
to...
He's like a bit of a son to me. I've had him since he was 18. He's now 21.
Okay.
He's known as the best young guitarist in Britain.
Okay.
I got him. He smelled like a brewery. He had a big beer stain on himself. He had a bit of a belly, which would kill him because he's so vain.
Right.
He's very, very cute. He looks sort of like Jagger, I guess. I didn't notice he was cute because he was so bloated because he was drinking 40 Stellas a day. And then with Pinsky's help and Bob, I got him sober. So he's been sober, which is crazy for an English guy who drinks 40 Stellas a day.
Yeah, it's crazy that you got someone sober. That's crazy.
Yeah, come on. Ask Bob Forrest if I got him sober.
All right, Courtney.
I think by example.
That brings me.
I still haven't figured out how I did that.
That brings me to question number one, which is in the Spin interview. You're on the cover. Their first
question. Yeah, I only read that yesterday.
Their first question is, are you on drugs?
You know, here's the thing, you guys. I've told you this before. I have an image to maintain. If anyone knows I ever took drugs, it'll screw it all up.
That's true. That is true.
All right, I have to
ask. You guys
ask,
can't talk about that. Like, the drug thing. I mean, my God. You know, people think of it. They look up to me. I'm like Miss America.
No, that's true.
I could lose my place.
If you were Miss America, I would be so happy.
As a role model, as Magic Johnson. Jesus Christ, you guys, you're ruining me.
Courtney, let me ask a serious question.
I did steroids once.
I'm excited about your new bandmate, but I'm surprised because I thought of all the members of Hole throughout the years, you and Eric were the tightest. I figured he would always be part of the
Eric,
band Hole.
It was fine, but Eric wasn't the guitar player Mikko is. He didn't let me be as good as I can be. And Melissa was great because she could sing, she was foxy, and she could play pretty well. But Sean, I mean, he's not like the hottest guy in the world, but my God, the difference of a good bass player. And then we have Stu, who's like also British and an amazing, amazing, amazing Bonham drummer. Now, I did a record with Linda, who I love, Linda Perry. I adore, Perry, right? worship her. You know, when you get to Letter to God, everyone cries when you do that song, right?
Right.
Linda, and I wanted to try out a partnership, and she was always been there for me. She's in San Francisco. But when we were in her studio with the Corgan,
he's known as the Corgan. That's Billy.
Right. He's known as Corgan. Sometimes he's known as the douche. But in any case, I don't call him that. Mikko calls him that. But he did it on camera, so it'll come out. I love Billy. He can be a douche. But anyway, Linda, we recorded this album, but it was like her house band. It was a rent band for me. When I came to London to see if that album was going to work, and played years ago at the Roxy and different in England and different around like four or five shows, and I realized that the record just didn't work. It didn't have enough songs on it. Thus, we wrote Skinny Little Bitch. Okay. We wrote Samantha, which Corgan had a co-writing on, but we made Samantha better. We wrote Honey. We wrote Nobody's Daughter. We wrote a song that didn't make it on the record called The Light. That's awesome. We wrote a lot of songs as a band. You know, okay. when Byron came aboard and I decided to out the Linda record. Yeah, Michael Byron is a great producer. Produced Celebrity Skin. Produced Mechanical Animals. Produced Super Unknown by Soundgarden. Weirdly produced Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. It's also severely underrated. I think he's just as good as Rick Rubin. I mean, the dude, okay, I come back from London. I'm self-funding this record, right? It's my entire
right.
savings.
That's
right?
my. Do you have a record label?
That's my other question. Is
I'm on Universal now, yeah.
Oh, you do?
So okay. I'm on Universal now, back home. You remember I sued them once because I sold
yes.
$3 million and not $8 million?
Yes.
All right, Courtney, take a
what
breath
a
right
jackass
there.
I used to be.
Take a breath. Nobody's Daughter is the name of the new album from Hole with Courtney Love.
Yeah.
We're on with her right now. The album is in stores on April 27th. We are going to take a
thank
quick
you
break.
For doing the cheat sheet. April, what is it? Wait.
April 27th.
Nobody's Daughter. Okay, but this is the thing to know. The single is free on nobodysdaughter.com for the next 48 hours, and then it sells on iTunes on March 16th.
Okay.
Okay,
okay, that's good news. We are going to take a very quick break, Courtney. We're going to come back. We're going to play the song. We're going to let people
and
hear
I'm
going to
curse like a sailor.
I hope.
And you're going to curse like you do, and then we come back and talk.
I'm surprised you guys like this song, actually, because this song is not trying.
We didn't
it's
say
just laying
we didn't
there
say
going,
we
F you.
We never said we
oh, who's that, Bean?
That was Bean,
yeah. Oh, you're getting soft up there on Whoopi Island.
But come on now. You can't say I didn't try.
How
what?
Can you not
what's
like
wrong with
Skinny
you?
Little Bitch?
We didn't
okay, let's
say
figure out
you
who it's
like
about.
It.
We need to figure out who is Skinny
Little
Bitch.
All right,
we'll
come
bitch.
Back. We'll okay. play this song, right. and we will discuss more with our friend Courtney Love right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean. K-Rock.
Skinny Little Bitch.
Just obscure.
come on now with that. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:38.
That's awesome.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is awesome.
Did you
it
think
is,
so? You liked it?
Yes.
Yeah. It is Skinny Little Bitch. That's the voice on the record and the Yay. Voice on the Kevin and Bean Show of our friend Courtney Love. The album will be called Nobody's Daughter.
I've never heard it on the radio before. That's so exciting.
By the way, we expect to hear that from a brand new artist, but somebody like you who has had records played on the radio for 18 years or something like that, I'm surprised you still get so excited, Courtney. I got to be honest, Courtney.
Well, because on this record is really good, and so, you know, there's a lot of really good songs on the last record. The Courtney Love record was a piece of cack, so, you know, I mean, it was, and you guys were so nice to play songs off it. I mean, you really were, but I know it was a mercy. Ugh. So,
I think people, you know, people like you, though. People want to hear you on the radio. That's the impression
yeah,
I get.
I understand, but that was totally you guys giving me a mercy uck. So,
hey, we like mercy ucks.
You know, yeah, Mercy X are nice, you know what I mean? And stuff, but I mean, you know, it had no staying power. That has staying power. And
it does.
You know, the cool thing about that song is that I'm the one on Nevermind that said that Teen Spirit was absolutely should not be the first single and it should be In Bloom. And Kurt agreed with me. And you know, Mr. Weatherly, your program director, yeah. is the deciding factor that put Teen Spirit out first
yeah.
because me and Kurt were both like on this like In Bloom, In Bloom, In Bloom. And so ever since then, I was going to put Samantha first, which is the one with all the ox in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I replaced them with Suck, but it's almost like a little Bohemian Rhapsody. It really is hard. You have to get to know me.
Right.
Musically to get that song immediately. And it you know, Skinny Little Bitch is just in your face, stupid.
Love
you know,
it.
It got really smart. So I started saying words like Matrix and anesthetize and crap in it. That's oh. all he does. I mean, that he goes like he's on Crazy Girl number 9, right? And like, you know, Heiress number 8. And so we go down. He's never been to Ground Zero. So we go down in New York to Ground Zero at 3 a.m. I show it to him and I realize the lyrics are really stupid. And we get this mint napkin. I mean, they're stupidly smart. They're too smart. And we want to make it dumb again. So I take out this napkin and we use an eyeliner pencil and wrote the lyrics again to make
okay.
them.
Okay, I need to stop you right there. Show of hands. Who's following this story? Who's really like
I'm not, okay. I'm not, but
me
I like
and my guitar player at Ground Zero at 3 a.m. rewriting the lyrics because I got too clever.
Okay.
All right.
Who you is the skinny little bitch?
Yes. You said to us.
Who is it?
Have to talk
I
about
don't
who
know.
It is.
Someone said, Matt Pinfield just said, is it Lindsay Lohan? I'm like, no, I would never kick someone when they were down like that.
Okay. So it has to be someone that's up.
So it can't be her.
Skinny little bitch.
Yeah, there's got to be the skinny little bitch. And when we wrote it, it just fell in like skinny little. Like skinny. I mean, it's not about me. It's got to be somebody.
But wait.
Because the lyric is baby, just go slower. Baby, just go lower. Like I have a penis all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, okay. It's my dyke song. It's my big dyke song.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't
have
know.
I missed Courtney. But oh, wait, have I missed
see,
this woman.
But see, here's my thing. My thing, when you say skinny little bitch, to me, that could be a negative or a positive. That's how you say positive
yeah,
things
yeah.
about
yeah, that's
people.
True. I could call. What, no, Lindsay, yeah. is that your name, sweetie?
What's
no, Lisa.
Lisa.
Lisa. Lisa. Yeah, I could say Lisa's getting a little bitch.
Right.
And
you wouldn't
actually take that.
And you wouldn't mean that negatively. That's what we like about
well,
you. We can
I
never
rhymed
tell.
The word unt with miscellaneous.
All right, Courtney, listen, we have very limited time with you, my dear. So I want to make sure we get
well, I'm so appreciative you're playing it. I mean, when
well,
I
course.
Heard that you guys were into this song, and then, how about this? As I was getting on the plane to go to see if some fancy fashion show Milan, someone told me that the first female that got whatever power rotation, I guess it's called,
mm-hmm.
It's on at Active Rock, which mm-hmm. is some sort of format that chicks aren't allowed in.
Right.
So, okay. like, it's like Soundgarden, Metallica, Zeppelin thing. And I
talk about the listen. You have to stop saying things that we have to get out of delay for because it sounds like
Why?
A record.
I can't
skip.
Say bulimia.
Yes, you can
what?
Say
you can say bulimia, but not the next word. Look, we can't
Why?
Say
Why
things
can't
like
say
that.
B,
they don't make the rules.
They're not,
not
our
rules.
You can't say B and then J.
Right. You can say B
that.
And J, but you can't say the words.
Okay, oh, Courtney, listen,
oh,
because
golly.
we have very
golly.
Little time.
Yes.
I missed you guys.
All right, listen, let's talk about the concert. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The concert is Thursday, April 22nd at the
Henry Fonda. You know why I chose Henry Fonda?
No.
Over the Wiltern? Because the Wiltern doesn't rock very hard.
Okay.
And when your program director got really mad at me and said he was no longer in the Courtney Love business and, like totally made my life hell.
Right.
That would be Kevin Weatherly, who I adore. Yeah. Well, we made up the Weenie Rose at Christmas.
Okay,
so,
good story.
That's all good. Wait, I played for another station accidentally. It wasn't my fault. At the Wiltern, and it sucked. So
we don't even need to get into that in the limited time.
Okay, Courtney, let me just finish the concert.
Henry Fonda.
Okay, Henry Fonda, Thursday, April 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Saturday.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy tickets to see this. Now, are you going to do all of the new stuff? And more importantly, are you going to do the old stuff as well?
Of course. I will do doll parts in this world and Malibu and things like that.
But you never know. Some artists like to really, really bring the new stuff, and it gets a little frustrating
sometimes. Douches.
Yeah.
You know, who don't want to admit that they have a past.
Right.
Of course I have a past.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Except that this is a real band. We are a real band. And, you know, there is no Melissa singing backup, but you can look at Mick all you want. You know, he wrote this song with me in 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, I mean.
And this band is still, this band is whole.
This is whole.
And it's for real.
I was always whole. Okay. I had whole long before Eric. 8 months later, there was still no Eric, and there was a hole. So.
Okay.
Send that one down to the lab, too. All right, listen, we're out of time.
You know, I have other people to talk to after you, and it's going to be such a downer.
Here's what I love about Courtney.
Homies.
Here's what I love about Courtney. She was playing the Weenie Roaster 1 year, and we did an interview with her in her dressing room. And I remember walking out exhausted, and that's why I love her.
Yes. That was the one she showed. She showed us her boob job.
And you exhaust me likewise. We're a good team. Plus
when
you
have time late, when you have time later this year, please come in. We'll spend some more time because we didn't get a chance to ask most of the questions.
So when I get this loan, should I do London, New York, or New York,
I don't.
LA?
I think you should do
LA.
You
guys know I'm going to do LA.
Right. Yeah, we think you should because then you'll be here.
My fantasy is London, but it's kind of bogus.
I think you could do both.
I'm
it's a good time to take out giant loans. That's what I'm saying.
Just the economy has never been stronger. Just go
from Deutsche Bank. My credit's so good. FICO score 527.
Nobody'sDaughter.com to download the song you just heard, Skinny Little Bitch, for free for the next 48 hours. And of course, our friend Courtney Love with the new album, Nobody's Daughter.
And it only goes 48 hours. Yeah. And then it'll be available for purchase on iTunes on March 16th.
Okay, now,
Hold on a second.
Just let me clarify. March 16th is when it's on the song is on iTunes, not the album.
Yeah.
The song. Okay.
No,
right. The album is still 427. Okay, good. All right.
The album is in Kevin's office.
All right, we got to go. Bye,
Courtney.
We love
you.
We love you.
And Lisa, welcome.
We
to
can't
my,
wait
our
to
little world.
We can't wait to see you again.
Yes.
So when you're in Los Angeles, please come in.
Tell me, Dave Navarro, I said hi.
Okay.
Thanks, Courtney.
You're the best. Bye.
Finally, we got through the boring parts of the Kevin and Bean Show to get to the only part we cared about today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to our studio multiple AVN award winner and Hall of Famer Jessica Drake joining us here from Wicked Pictures. Hi, Jessica. How you been, sweetheart?
Really good. It's a pleasure to be back here with you guys. Thanks for having me again.
It's better for us. It's great to see you. We're going to be taking your questions for Miss Drake. If you'd like to ask a porn star, we always like to give her the opportunity to answer the questions that you have at 1-800-520-1067. But first, we got some business we got to talk about. I've been, of course, you know, going to your website, jessicadrake.com, and I can't help but notice that you have a picture of you with Mike Tyson on your site and also a picture of you with a goat. Now, that was either a hell of a party. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What happened here?
What are the circumstances that led to both of those photos being taken, Jessica?
Okay, well, I'll tell you about Mike Tyson because it's probably easier to explain. I was at a party in Las Vegas, and we were at the private area of LAX nightclub. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Noir. Thank you. And, you know, he was just there hanging out, and he, you know, he knew who I was, and he was very nice. I still have both ears.
Nothing, that's good.
Nothing traumatic happened. He was just really chill, super laid back, and I was really impressed, you know, with the whole situation.
He was high.
Now the goat.
Yes,
the goat, not so high.
My friend is a photographer, and I was doing a big photo shoot for him, and he happened to mention to me that his goat had just had baby goats, and I said, we'll bring them over here. So we were holding them like puppies and just petting goats.
Okay. That has the potential to go very wrong very fast. Anytime you're
going to call BS on that story. That's totally made up. That's not what happened. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't that.
That's what I do know.
You've been in the business for a few years now.
Yeah,
You're smart enough to know that when you're in a photo shoot and a guy says, oh, I happen to have a goat over here, just say
goat.
No.
Here, hold this goat and pick up a bone. Hold this bone and this goat. And
you say, why?
I know.
Jessica is going to be appearing in West Hollywood, California at the Pleasure Chest tonight from 5 until 9 o'clock. 4 hours is an awfully long in-store. What do you got going on down there for that long tonight?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm going to do it with Kehlani Lay.
Wait.
that's not what's going on at the signing.
She'll be there.
It could
be.
Right? But she'll be there with
me. Don't mix it without thinking about it.
And okay, you're right. It's possible. Right. We are going to do the signing at the Pleasure Chest, and it's a rare local L.A. appearance. We hardly ever both appear at the same place at the same time here. And we've got a lot of DVDs, all of our newest stuff that just came out. And we're signing free autographed posters for everybody that comes and stands in line. And we're also doing Polaroids and all kinds of giveaways. And I've done was doing a Playboy radio show last night, and I'm going to do the same thing here that I did there. If you guys come in and you tell me that you heard me on K-Rock this morning, there's something special in it for you.
I love the sound of that.
All of our minds are racing right now.
Yeah.
There's something special in it for you. Okay. All right. So mention the Kevin and Bean show tonight when you go to the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood. Yeah. All right.
You're gonna have guys showing up dropping their pants going, "All right, I'm ready." Something special. Make it happen.
Yeah. Everybody's really good at when I do store signings. I've had a couple of really funny things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have had guys drop trowel and ask me to sign their bums.
Sure.
I've had a lot of funny things. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then, but the hair clogged up the Sharpie.
Oh,
wow.
Too much information?
Well, yeah.
So if you're going to come and have me sign a body part, yeah, just shave a little area for me. That's all
I
ask.
Shave it off.
Although I know
it's
one
not
of your
an
big
endless
hit
supply of Sharpies.
One of your big hit films was Space Nuts, and that leads me to think of what could the kind of side it could be going on as well tonight too. So. All right, so Jessica, we're going to take a break and allow folks to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Just by means of just a little bit of background, I imagine when people meet you and find out what you do for a living, if they're not already aware, there are a few basic questions you probably get asked a lot about getting into the business and whatnot, right? Do you mind answering questions like that?
No, I don't mind answering questions like that at all. I mean, there's probably no question that I haven't been asked at least once.
Now that the goat's been covered.
Yeah, I mean, we took care of that.
All right. How often do you get a chance to actually ask a real-life big-time porn star? You can do it right now, 1-800-520-1067. Our guest is the beautiful Jessica Drake. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 26 minutes after 9 o'clock.
So you want to ask a porn star? Boobs large. You give the inside of my pants a big charge. Having sex in front of the world, I really like your boobies. I gotta go now, I'm gonna go watch one of your movies. Ask a porn star, ask a porn star. Porn star.
All right.
Porn star.
Thank you, Jay Omar Khan. The beautiful Jessica Drake is in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. You can meet her in person tonight, signing autographs along with the equally beautiful Kehlani Lay. That is going to be tonight at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood starting at 5 o'clock. If you happen to be listening in Los Angeles, go by and say hi to Jessica. Special something for you if you mention you heard her on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, we have time for a few calls here for Ask a Porn Star at 1-800-520-1067. If you've always wanted to ask either Jessica or anyone in the industry a question, why don't we start with... Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's start with Lisa. She's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling. You're on with Jessica Drake. Ask a porn star.
Ask a porn star.
I'd like to know, how is it that all porn stars, including you, keep your backside so nice and pretty? I mean, you know, aside from maybe waxing and, you know, keeping up.
Is there a lot of maintenance involved in your line of work, Jessica?
Exactly. You know what? That's a really great question, and it's so great to kick off all these questions with a question from a woman. I have to tell you that I'm one of the few women that I know of, off the top of my head, that really doesn't have a problem with any kind of razor burn. I'm a big fan of shaving. I have been waxed once before, but to me personally, it wasn't something that I would repeat. It was a really painful experience. Some women do it and do great with it.
Waxing to me seems like it's a practical joke that's been played on women for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
people go, you'll never believe they let me put wax on them and then rip it off. Terrible.
But razor burn can be a real issue.
I mean, right. And that's really true. So, I mean, I think waxing is a great alternative, but for me personally, I have a very close shave, and I'm not afraid to use a mirror in the shower.
I'm trying to picture that right now.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you for the call. Hey, Jessica, have you ever shaved even one time while operating a motor vehicle?
No! Who does that? I guess we know No, I don't have the shaver that plugs into the cigarette lighter. You know?
Probably safer that way.
Why?
Good advice.
Why would you do that?
Let's try Lorenzo on line 5. I imagine this is a question you get a lot, but frankly, I'm even fascinated. Hi, Lorenzo, you're on with Jessica Drake. Go ahead.
What's up, Jessica? You're totally hot.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for calling.
Ask a porn star.
Thank you.
All right. Honest question, because I know you have the exact answer in your head. How many times have you had a real, honest-to-goodness orgasm in the middle of a scene?
I'm trying to count.
She's using her fingers, and now she's got a
and toes,
pencil.
And, well, here's the deal.
Calculator.
Obviously, it's easier for a man to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We understand. Right. Go ahead.
Okay. That being said, I make it a point to mentally get in the right frame of mind or to get in the right physical position.
Right.
That's my ultimate goal. I would say that it probably with me happens 75 to 80
times a day.
Percent of the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But let me just say that that's what I use our softcore shoots for. If it doesn't happen while we're shooting the hardcore version, then when we switch camera angles, then it happens for me. I make it my goal because I think it's very important. The guy gets his,
right?
I should get mine. That being said,
there are a lot of women who don't ever have orgasms while they're working, right?
I feel really bad for them.
Or while they're not working.
I feel really bad for them. I work with a very small list of people, first of all, and I have serious chemistry with each person that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I only do things that are appealing to me.
Right.
I only do things that turn me on. I don't do things that are painful or anything like that. I mean, it's my goal. I'm having sex on camera, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
All right, now, come on, everyone.
I need to get mine.
This is the voice of the lovely Jessica Drake, jessicadrake.com. She is going to be appearing at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood tonight starting at 5, signing copies of everything. Listen, before we go to...
And what are we doing right now, Bean?
We're doing Ask a Porn Star right now.
Ask a Porn Star.
I do want to go to Jesse's call next, but before we do that, we have to give our own Psycho Mike a shout out because Mike, you and Jessica's careers have intertwined a couple of times in recent years. Tell me about that.
Well, I have titled a couple porn movies for the company she works for, and she's in 3 movies that I have titled.
That's amazing.
Come on.
Nicely
who can say
done.
That?
Nobody.
Who can say
any
that?
Any of those Wicked Pictures titles that we're allowed to mention on the air?
Well, I believe Red, White, and Goo is one that we can mention.
Oh, you were in Red, White, and Goo, Jessica. I love that one. It's so patriotic.
I suppose I was.
All right, let's take Jesse's call. That may be the last one we have time for. Your chance to ask a porn star, Jesse.
Ask a porn star.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what was the average size of a male porn star.
Average size of a...
Well, that's a little bit different than the question that I was expecting.
You were expecting normal for a normal guy, right?
Yeah. And let me just preface what the answer that I'm about to give you. Like I was mentioning before, I have a very specific list of people that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average size of a male porn star is probably a bit larger than the average man that does not do porn.
Right.
That being said, I prefer an average man that does not do porn size as opposed to, say, the 8 or 9 inches that I think is prevalent in the industry.
Oh, man.
And without going into...
Mike is so happy right now.
No, it looks like he's just been left out.
Yeah,
good face, by the way. Really good face. Oh,
lists.
Man. But that being said, without getting too graphic,
right.
I just think that if it's not ridiculously huge... there's a lot more you can do with it.
All right.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Thank you.
So work with what you got, gentlemen. That's what
Absolutely.
Jessica said.
Absolutely.
All right, here's the rundown. Jessica's going to be appearing with Kehlani Lay tonight at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood starting at 5 o'clock. Go by, mention you heard her on the Kevin and Bean Show for something special. Everybody else, go on by and get whatever you want to sign. You're taking pictures with the fans and everything.
Shave.
You also are a writer and director. You're doing some writing and directing for Wicked Pictures, too. You got something like that on the horizon coming out soon?
Yeah, definitely. I just finished a movie called 3 Days in June. It just came out of editing. And
are you June?
I believe I am. I am, actually. Nice. And I think that we're going to bring that title out in June, to release in June. I've written now with Wicked for about 3 years, and I've been directing for about a year. And it's
USA!
Thank you. It's really great to be the writer and the director, because any type of fantasy that I have, anybody that I particularly want to work with, I just write it into a movie. So
that's pretty cool.
It's kind of good to be the boss that way.
Sure.
It gives me a lot of opportunities to act out every fantasy.
You should
that
put
I
that
have.
Goat in.
Right, there you go. Ready to go. Well, Jessica, you are doing the Lord's work. I know he would be pissed at me saying that to you, but you really are. You're doing the Lord's work. Please go to jessicadrake.com for all the latest. Thank you so much for coming in on the Kevin DeBean Show today.
Thanks, and you can also follow me on twitter.com/TheJessicaDrake.
Thank you, and our apologies to Cypress Hill for this. Ask a porn star.